Saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. And just one pint of blood can save up to three lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
The following is a paid commercial announcement. The views and opinions expressed and the advice offered by the host are not necessarily those of Wink WNOG, Fort Myers Broadcasting, Meridian Broadcasting, or any of their affiliate sponsors or assigned. James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. And now, you've heard the right. All that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Outside.
Then take him, son. Shuri's a Great Dane, meaner and 100 pounds heavier than you. Shuri's strong enough to tow an SUV, but you're a Peterson, and at four, you're a man. So take Bullet's chain and wrap it around your wrist twice.
Like this?
I use both hands, but hey. Now show him who's boss. Let him know who's top of the food chain.
But I'm afraid I could get hurt.
I'm afraid I don't understand. Just keep him away from that cat.
Come on, buddy.
Yeah, I don't know what's happening. We're going to try it again after this, okay? I'm sorry. I don't know what's happening.
Put them in adult seat belts. If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat.
Daddy!
Make him spit that cat out this instant.
For more information, go to boosterseat.gov. This message brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Department of Transportation.
Well, are we finally going here? I guess the bugs are in the wires again today. My, my, my. You are listening to the Guy James Show. Got a lot of feedback noise and all that sort of thing going on in here. I don't know what's happening. I hope you are hearing us out there. Sounds terrible in here where I'm at. You are listening to the Guy James Show. Off to a rocky start once again. I hate that, and I apologize for it. It makes us sound like we're a bunch of amateurs, which I guess we are. Blue waters, sandy beaches of Fort Myers, Florida, and all that. Glad to have you along with us this evening. I'm not in that great of a mood tonight anyway. I know a lot of you aren't either. A lot of nasty things went on this week, and a lot of... Well, you saw the Pope funeral all week long. I didn't think that was ever going to end. By the way, you can give us a call at 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502-7503, and 7504. 479-5540 here locally, or 263-6570 in Collier County. And before I really start the show tonight, I have something all of our friends on the Internet will be... Well, I'm sure they all know about, and maybe even some of our local listeners here know about this as well. But I'm going to take a few minutes tonight to start the program off with, I'm going to start on a real sad note, a very sad note. You know, when you're carrying a heavy burden of some kind, how many people recognize that you need help just by hearing the tone of your voice, maybe by your body language, even from your silence sometimes? How many people do you know that display that kind of sensitivity to their fellow man? How many people do you know that don't harbor a hint, not even a hint of prejudice? Even there are those who are prejudiced against them. My longtime listeners and internet friends know by now that I'm speaking about Jeff Mattson, affectionately known here on the Guy James Show as our New York Bureau Chief. He's been with the show since we started streaming it a couple of years ago. And most of our internet audience knows by now of Jeff's sudden passing. He fell ill Easter weekend, and he left us this past Saturday. When he didn't call the show 2 weeks ago this evening, I wondered why, and little did I know that he was in terrible trouble at that very time. I called and called him on Sunday and Monday and Tuesday, but there was no answer, and I just figured he'd call back. And then we heard this awful news this week. This awful news that has affected so many of our friends on the internet. Many of you have had your lives touched by Jeff. You know, when problems arose, Jeff was always the first one to say, "How can I help?" He was always the first one there. What can I do? And in fact, most of the time he didn't even ask, but went full speed ahead doing whatever he possibly could to help. That's because Jeff was a problem solver, not a problem maker. What can I do for others? Always others. And we should all be so lucky, as to possess even a small fraction of Jeff's talents. You know, like many of you, I've often been just totally awed by his lyrical compositions, his wonderful flair for poetry, and his unusually keen sense of humor, as wry as it was. And his writings, well, his writings will live on as a part of his spirit, because as many of you well know, and you've realized already, that a spirit like Jeff's never really dies, but rather continues on a journey to keep giving smiles to those of us who loved him. Smiles that'll be brought on by our warm and loving thoughts of Jeff for as long as we live. I received a nice letter yesterday from Brooks Cowan, Jeff's great friend and collaborator during these last 20 years. And I won't read the letter because it's personal, but you can feel the love and admiration for Jeff and Brooks' letter. And it was very hard to read of this extraordinary man's passing at such a young age. Really, it's heartbreaking. We'll never forget Jeff Mattson here at the Guy James Show. Never, ever. He meant a lot to so many people, and our hearts go out to Sarah and the rest of his family. And Peggy from California wanted to let everybody on the Democratic Underground know that the cabaret community that Jeff was so involved with will be doing a musical tribute to him in the near future in New York, of course. And they'll perform many of his original songs, which is the best way to honor Jeff. They've also suggested a second tribute to Jeff, which would be a fundraiser for the NNFF organization, which I'll talk about a little bit later, or specifically for a young boy close to Jeff's hometown in Connecticut who lost both of his legs to NF and is trying to raise money to buy his prosthetic leg. It was a sad week, realizing this. Jeff was important to a lot of us. We talked to Jeff a lot on the phone up in New York. I know my producer's wife and some of her relatives and friends were going to go to New York in May. And Jeff was going to show them the town, as probably no one else could. He'd show them the cabaret life and all the good life on Saturday night. And I know he would have done a good job at that. Before I take any of your calls, if you're going to call about Jeff, and I hope you do. If you've got a memory of Jeff or something you'd like to say, I hope you do call. I want to read something that was written by Jeff. And Will Pitt, one of our friends on Democratic Underground, had a tribute to another one of our, Kefra, one of our Democratic friends who passed away not long ago. And Jeff wrote this for Will Pitt's tribute, and I think it's appropriate to read it right back at Jeff, because it's appropriate for him. We're shocked by the suddenness. Can I boil today's rice with more joy, respecting that it may be the last bowl? Most of us will not be warned before we're swept out of this life. We will hold to hope, and spit the bitter out? That's the daily test. Most of us will not be warned. We should not be shocked by the suddenness. Warning or challenge, we should not be shocked. Read that in memory of Jeff Mattson, a friend, kind of a colleague in this business, and we will miss him tremendously. And I know many, many, many people that will miss Jeff. We're going to go to Renee in Ohio. Hello, Renee.
Hello. You were starting to announce that just as I was calling in, so I missed who you were talking about. I just don't want to step in on a strange moment. I'm sorry that you're having a rough week. I know that we all are. I'm hoping that I have something hopeful to share. My name is Renee. I live in Ohio, and I have done a website called The Religious Left for several years, trying to get that other voice out there. I know that we're not the loudest, especially among the Christians. Are you aware that the National Day of Prayer is coming up again?
No, I wasn't.
It's the first Thursday in every May, and it really has been not even reached my awareness until just last year when I was on my way home from the gym, and I saw a bus with the sign commanding me to pray. And I thought, let's see what this is. I looked into it, I thought, well, maybe it could be something, pray to God as you understand God. Because, you know, being a progressive Christian, I don't want to be in your face about it. I certainly don't. If it's do unto others as you would want them to do unto you, I think I wouldn't want to be in a country where someone else's religion was seen as the appropriate one. So the do unto others, I don't feel that you force that on people. Well, I took a look at the website, and first of all, last year I had Oliver North's face looking at me. And then I also had, I gotta find her name again. Shirley Dobson was the chair of this. Matt Dobson. Doesn't sound really interfaith, does it? And I've been trying to, you know, encourage people to get some more of there are some alternative events going. What I found out is that when people try to have an alternative event, they try to have a multi-faith event, the official National Day of Prayer task force doesn't allow other certain religions to take place in it. If I could find it, I'm not sure I can find it real quickly, but there's a certain, in Troy, Michigan, there's been a discussion of this for some time now. There's an interfaith group that wanted to use the city hall, and there was also the official National Day of Prayer that wanted to use the city hall, but again, they don't allow any sort of, unless your Mormons weren't allowed to deliver prayers. They say it's interfaith, but the idea of interfaith is other faiths can listen, but they can't participate. So I wanted to let people know about something I'm trying to kind of get started, talking about the National Day of Inclusion.
Okay, you want to give us your website?
Sure. If you look at www.thevillagegate.org, it's the second post down. I have a little graphic I made with my husband's help. It says One Nation, Many Faiths, because I see that one nation under God everywhere.
Okay.
And would like to try to, I think that this is a really important time, and I think, I don't know if you're aware that the person, the man who fought, who was one of the people fighting the suit against the internment camp, and I blanked on his name, he's a Japanese American, he just died yesterday. And he had even been trying to point out the issues of the internment camps and the connection to what goes on in places like Abu Ghraib, or just the fact that we have internment camps now. And I think that some of the reason that the American public doesn't get stirred up about that is that somehow Muslims are scary and the way that that's portrayed. So I think that we're desperately in need of just awareness of how many different faiths we have in this country.
Yes.
And to embrace that rather than to kind of, again, sort of beat down.
Well, we promote this on the program all the time. You want to give us your website once again? We have to move on.
Okay, the www.thevillagegate.org.
Okay. We'll get all of our listeners to go to that website and take a look, see what it's all about. It wasn't the way I had planned to come out of a tribute for Jeff Mattson, but anyway, we did, so that's how it happens on live radio, folks. We're going to pause for a break right now, and we'll be right back.
A Democrat and proud of it, Guy James.
Southwest Florida's official news, weather, and traffic station. Wink WNOG.
One out of five Americans. That's a lot of people. And you might be one of them. It's the number of adults who take on the role of caring for a sick or aging family member in their home or yours. What's unusual here is that most family caregivers don't see themselves as caregivers at all, but simply as daughters, sons, parents, and spouses doing what any loving family member would do. If this is you, then you know the feeling of doing all you can day in, day out, and still thinking it's not enough. In fact, you can do more for your loved one, but you can't do it alone. Chances are there are organizations right in your own neighborhood that can offer just the help you need to help you do your best. A great first step is to visit Family Caregiving 101. This nonprofit website is a gateway to a whole world of support, service, and advice. That's familycaregiving101.org. A public service message from the National Family Caregivers Association and the National Alliance for Caregiving, with generous support from Azi, Inc.
This is the sound of a washing machine. A very common sound in 5 to 7 million U.S. homes where children still wet the bed over age 6. I'm Dr. Mark Cendron, urologist from the Children's Hospital of Boston. Bedwetting is a medical condition that is much more common than people may think. And while the bed sheets can be washed, the bad feelings that result don't disappear as easily. My brother wet the bed until he was 12. Of course, my little sister and I teased him a lot. But when the accidents continued, no one in the family was having an easy time, and in fact, it was clear that everyone was stressed out. At that time, nobody realized that wetting the bed is not a behavioral or a psychological problem. We now realize it's a medical condition that can be safely and effectively treated, as I do daily. If your child wets the bed past age 6, please know it's no one's fault. Talk to your healthcare provider about available treatment options. For information, visit www.afud.org. A message from the American Foundation for Urologic Disease and this station.
Hey, how you doing? Educational videos, top quality, right here.
You'll never hear anyone selling education on the street.
Yo, what's up, baby? Wanna learn some history?
I got live learning, beautiful books inside.
And don't expect anyone to just offer you an education.
Who needs a high school diploma, huh?
Unfortunately, you can't buy a diploma from some guy with a briefcase. But there is one way you can get the educational skills you and your family need for free, with free family learning programs. Call 1-877-FAMLIT1 for information on free GED, computer training classes, and other family learning programs. That's 1-877-FAMLIT1.
Check it out, check it out. We need a GED right here, guaranteed, ma. Come on, check it out.
After all, you can't get your education on the street. Free family learning programs from the National Center for Family Literacy. The first step to a better life. Brought to you by the National Center for Family Literacy and the Ad Council.
According to a new Florida law, students who can't read at grade level will no longer be promoted to the next grade. That means that next school year, more of Florida students than ever before may have to repeat a grade so they get the skills to succeed later in life. Find out how you can help your children be more successful in school. Go to www.justreadflorida.com or call 1-866-FLA-READ. This message has been brought to you by the Florida Department of Education, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Close your eyes.
30 seconds.
You can hear the sound of zebra braying in Africa. Look hard out your window in D.C., and you can see the snow-covered peaks of the Andes. The world is that small. We are that connected. Please visit Earthshare.org and learn how the world's leading environmental groups are working together. Earthshare. One environment. One simple way to care for it all. A public service message from Earthshare and the Ad Council.
Heard the right. Now all that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Yes, indeed. Guy James back with you on the Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic liberal talk show. And we're going to talk about some politics and liberalism and Democrat and Republicans and all sorts of things tonight on the program. You're welcome to call in. I hope you do. It is a talk show after all. 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. 479-5540 here in Lee County and in Collier County, Florida, 263-6570. Give us a call. I hope you do. We'd love for you to participate in the show. I'm going to talk a lot tonight about Mr. Tom DeLay. little bit later, we'll get to Mr. Tom DeLay. Of course, there's a whole lot to talk about him tonight, isn't there? And, of course, one of the main things we want to talk about tonight and is the famous memo. Ah, yes, the forged memo stating that the Republicans could take advantage of the Schiavo case. You know, if it were possible to buy a couple of tons of crow, I'd send some packages of it to the drug addict Limbaugh and that little Nazi Hannity and probably the most offensive and ill-informed of all talk show hosts, Laura Ingraham, Bill Slotz Bennett, and some of the other radical right-wing talkers who've been going on and on and on about how the memo was nothing more than a forgery constructed by the Democrats to make the right-wingers look bad concerning their stances on the Schiavo case. You all heard that this week, didn't you? Of course. You all heard it this week about how those naughty Democrats have forged that. And I'll be talking about this evening because I've got some a whole lot to talk about it. There's a lot to talk about on an issue. But, you know, they'll never own up to their mistakes on this issue because Republican right-wingers never, ever admit they're wrong. Never, ever, ever. It's not part of the plan. You know, no doubt this forgery claim of theirs was just part of their plan to pollute the airwaves with enough lies and propaganda so their followers and other stupid and gullible people would believe it and continue their allegiance to this misadministration. I wonder if they ever tell the truth. Do they ever tell the truth? You know, I wouldn't believe George Bush. I wouldn't believe Denny Hastert, Bill Frist, Tom DeLay. I wouldn't believe any of them if they looked me in the eye and said the sun was going to go down in the west. I wouldn't believe them. They are a horrible bunch of pathological liars. And we're going to give you plenty of proof of that tonight. But, you know, this Bush political lackey, and I warned everybody here in Florida. People in Florida can't say I didn't warn them about this lackey, Mel Martinez, our new senator here. A disgrace for a United States senator here in Florida. Replaced one of the best in Bob Graham, and we get this boob, Mel Martinez. Well, one of his staffers fell on his sword and admitted that the memo was offered by, you know, was authored by him, and he resigned. Isn't that convenient? How many days you want to bet some of you he'll end up on another Republican staff by next week? That's what happens. You don't suppose anybody in this administration had anything to do with him falling on his sword and taking the rap for that, do you? Oh, no. Certainly not. Surely no one in this administration would try and misinform the public. Of course not. You know, these people who promised to bring honor back to the White House have turned that great structure into a cesspool of lies and deception the likes of which this country has never seen. They're rotten to the core. And if the Congress of the United States was filled with honorable men and women instead of the hundreds of liars and scoundrels residing there now, they'd have this guy out of office in a heartbeat and clean out every one of his appointment, every one of his cabinet, throw them all out of Washington. But then there's no sex in the White House involved here, is there? And that's what you got to have. You know, this administration's huge lies and intentional deception about the Iraq War, for example, Social Security, Medicare, and almost everything else they've gotten their hands on are proof that they're in office to promote the general welfare of the rich and their friends and nothing else. Nothing else. You know, what honorable administration wouldn't have kicked Tom DeLay out of Washington by now? Tell me how. How do you maintain any sense of decency in an administration when your point man out front is a guy like Tom DeLay? And let me be completely fair here. We've heard these past couple of days from defenders of DeLay that what he did concerning the $500,000 to his family is completely legal and ethical, and there's plenty of Democrats who've done the same thing. Well, let me say here and now that if any Democrats are found to have the same behavior as the bug man from Texas, that they should be ridden out of town on a rail too, and I don't care who they are. The behavior of DeLay and those people defending him just proves that Washington, D.C. is infested with a bunch of self-serving bastards who are there for no other reason than to enrich themselves and their friends. They don't give a damn about the needs of the American people. It slays me when they pull their little patriotic stunts like taking their copy of the Constitution out of their pocket and showing them to the cameras. Oh, how patriotic I am. I carry a copy of the Constitution in my pocket. That makes me a great American. They only care about that Constitution in as much as it helps them lie, cheat, and steal their way to more wealth and power. That's what they want for themselves. All men are created to be damned. They don't care about the American people, the poor, the sick, or the elderly, the disadvantaged, equal rights, or liberty and justice for all. But the part that really confounds me, and I'll never understand this till the day I die, I don't think, is that there are millions of voting citizens who stand up for these guys. They're actually average Joe and Sally Americans who continue to vote for them even after they're told about the corruption that's so pervasive in the Republican Party right now. It's not okay for people on the other side of the fence to be unethical and corrupt, but they'll sure as hell find a way to rationalize it if it's one of their boys. You won't hear anything else about that forged memo. Not a peep. The right-wing talk show giants will just move on to something else and never utter another word about it. That's the difference between them and this program. If Tom DeLay were a Democrat, and God, that's a filthy thought, but if he were, I'd be leading the charge to throw his butt in jail and throw away the key. Deceiving the American public on important matters is not something I can forgive, and this man is beneath contempt. How long now have I asked on this program for someone to call in and defend Tom DeLay? He's your House Majority Leader, all my Republican friends. Are you proud of Tom DeLay and the way he treats people? Are you proud of Tom DeLay, the way he has used you for his benefit? Hundreds of thousands of dollars to his wife and daughter, and a whole lot more that we'll talk about tonight. That just scratches the surface. Just scratches the surface of what Tom DeLay has done. Like I've said before, he walks right up to the edge of illegality, and I think he's crossed over it too. I believe he'll be indicted. I believe he'll be removed from office. I sure hope so. But in one way, as a Democrat, I ought to hope he stays in office. Because he represents everything. Everything Tom DeLay represents is indicative of this Bush administration. There are many Tom DeLays, maybe not quite as bad as him, but there are many Tom DeLay types in this Bush administration. No conscience. No conscience whatsoever. It's disgraceful. It really is disgraceful, and it makes me cry for America every time I see a no-good rat like Tom DeLay on TV representing one of our parties. My God, people. And the people in Texas. How could you? How could you put this man in office? How could you keep him in office, knowing what he is? There's got to be something seriously wrong in your mind if you're from Texas and you voted for this guy more than once. If you voted for Tom DeLay to keep stay in office, let me tell you, you're no good yourself. You aren't worth a plug nickel. That's what I think of Tom DeLay, and that's what I think of you if you'd vote for a guy like Tom DeLay. You're either too stupid. I get so angry talking about it. Let's go to Mike in San Jose, California. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Guy. How you doing?
Good.
I'm a Democratic underground poster. I use the name Bush Eats Beef, and I wanted to call in about Jeff and just tell you kind of a funny little story about my memories of him. It was during the election, and there's a pretty famous photo that's actually on the White House website of Bush in his little pickup truck and his little cowboy hat. And it's gotten the nickname on Democratic Underground of Connecticut Cowboy, because that's basically what he is. And at one time, he and I had posted that picture in separate threads, and we both used the term Connecticut Cowboy, and he saw my thread and I saw his. So we started having a kind of a joke dueling thread back and forth about how he was copying me and I was copying him and whatever. And between that and the cartoon roundups that he did, he found all the best political cartoons and posted them out there for people regularly. And there was one time where he needed a photo that somebody else had posted in one of their threads, and the thread was long gone, and he couldn't find it from searching or whatever, and he just put a call out there for anybody that had it, and I found it, and I sent him a little private message, and here it is, and he sent a thank you back. And I guess what I'm trying to say, Guy, is that in the cowboy movie of life, there are people who wear the white hats and people who wear the black hats, and Jeff wore the white hat. He was a good guy, and that's pretty much the extent of what I can tell you about him.
Well, thank you very much, Mike, for calling in and letting us know those sentiments about Jeff. We're all going to miss him, that's for sure.
You bet. Take care, guys.
Thanks for your call. Going to go to Dave in Northern California. Hi, Dave.
Hey, how you doing, Guy?
Good.
I had wished I had known Jeff. I maybe have heard him when he's called your show. He had a program of his own, did he?
No. He's He was a lyricist and just a very talented man in New York and involved in the cabaret scene there. And he was our New York bureau when he called.
And young and healthy and in good shape.
49 years old.
Was are you suspicious about it by the circumstances?
No.
Okay. I think that Tom DeLay is a criminal in every way that he can be a criminal, and a very sophisticated one. What is reality is that he is chosen. He has been elected by this neocon Congress to be their leader. They could have at any time they wanted thrown him out, but they don't. They are saying, show us how we can steal more Tom DeLay. That's why they have him there. It is reflective of this whole thing that goes back to the days of PNAC a dozen years ago, when they planned for their takeover, their world domination, how to steal the government. They even went so far as to voice that in order to invade the Middle East, we will need a new Pearl Harbor type of an event to get the people behind us. They're a scary group of people, and we so much need... You are right on today in your confrontations with them. I regret that I interrupted you because you were going strong. But you got one person here that's with you 100% on all that you're saying.
Well, Dave, it's just... When you stop and think about the disgusting bunch of liars there are in Washington, and I'm gonna say this right here and now, and I don't care if the listeners like it or not, there are 55 Republican senators in Congress right now. Is that not right? And every one of them is a damn liar about this memo. Every one of them said they didn't get this. Nobody on the Republican side said they got this memo or knew anything about it, and yet it had been circulated. There was there might have been copies distributed to other senators. And what really puzzles me is here goes Mel Martinez, this fool of a senator we have here in Florida. He goes out on the Senate floor, hands a copy of this memo saying they're going to make hay off of the Schiavo case to Senator Harkin, and claims he didn't know that it was in his pocket, claims he didn't know what was on it. And Tom Harkin looks at it and hands it back to him, supposedly, and no one else knew about it but those two people. I have to wonder about that.
Well, you know, I'm going to guess that because it was handed to Tom Harkin and then it leaked, they needed a fall guy. It may have come right from the very top, because I know everybody was asked to be calling into talk shows and trying to portray concerned, compassionate, caring neocons, trying to save this woman who's being, tortured to death by evil Democratic people,
Oh, yeah, and you're right. Logic tells you and reason tells you it did come from the top. And, let me ask everybody listening this about that, that memo. If that was, as Martinez said, that our Senator Liar Martinez from here, Florida, we're so proud in Florida. Oh, God. This guy says that's the only copy of that, and yet a copy of it showed up on the Internet. Now, if Martinez has got the only copy of it in his pocket, does anyone want to tell me, if that's the only copy, how did it get it posted on the Internet?
it was going out on all the right-wing talk radio.
Absolutely it was. And, you know, well, yeah.
Everybody is supposed to go on blogs and try to, you know, it's blown up in their face. I guess I was
sure it has. And, you know, then he said, well, it was an angry Republican that passed it on to a Democrat. Where did the angry Republican get his copy of it? How many copies were there? You know, it's they tried everything to blame it on the Democrats this week.
The Florida ding-dong there, Martinez, that passed it on, he didn't do it knowingly. He just said he was passing papers and just that somehow was in the midst of it all, you know.
Yeah, that's what they'd have.
The joys of what voting machines can bring you. You see a lot of that in Florida, I bet.
I tell you, if it weren't so nice here, I believe I'd get out. This place is a cesspool for politics. It is. If a guy like Mel Martinez can get in office, Bugs Bunny should run, too,
yeah.
I tell you. Hey, thanks, Dave, for your call.
Thank you, Guy, for being there, brother.
Good to hear from you. Did y'all think this case through about this memo, about Martinez, you know, coming through this whole thing, and he doesn't know anything about it? How many of you believe Mel Martinez, that he didn't know anything about that? He's telling us that in his suit pocket, this was there, and he didn't know it, and he hadn't read it, and he didn't know it. What do you think the odds of that are? A United States senator have a paper in his pocket, explosive as this memo was, and he hadn't read it. You know, Mel Martinez, I don't have the proof. I don't have the proof except logic and reason on this. You're a damn liar. That's all there is to it. You flat out lied to the cameras. You lied to the American people. You knew what was on that paper. You and many of your brethren there, but the thing I can't understand is what in the world was Tom Harkin helping defend? Tom says, well, I don't think he did know anything about it. Oh, come on. The senators are thick as thieves. Stand there and protect one another. But, you know, Martinez has been through this game before. I mean, over and over and over again. You know, when he ran here in Florida, he ran probably the one of the dirtiest campaigns that's ever been run for the Senate here in Florida. You know, the Republicans would have done anything to get him in office, and they did do almost anything to get this man in office. He's a Bush lackey, and they like Bush lackeys. He's an unthinking moron senator here from Florida, and they got him in office, all right. They bought him that office. He ran against a great candidate, but he bought the office. Because there were better, you know, he ran in a primary against old Bill McCollum, the ever-present Bill McCollum here in Florida, the perennial candidate for any office that comes up. And he painted, they sent mailers out. That's what it was. In the 2004 Florida senatorial primary, Martinez's campaign mailed flyers to voters that referred to his public opponent, old Bill McCollum, as the new darling of the homosexual extremist. One Republican accused another Republican here, you know, which was really what it was a reference for McCollum's support of the federal hate crime legislation. That somehow made him into the darling of homosexual extremists. And after Martinez won the primary, he apologized to McCollum for the smear, and he blamed it on a couple of, quote, young Turks in his campaign. Where did I got a paper here? Martinez says, we made mistakes. We made mistakes. A couple of young Turks in my campaign went farther than they should have. They didn't even have to do it, for gosh sake. I threw that in there and made him sound a little homey, right? Didn't have to do it, for gosh sake. We were ahead at that point, but I'm totally responsible for what happened, and I regret it. But it was the staffer who did it. And then during his campaign against Democrat Betty Castor, she's a former school superintendent. Martinez's campaign also attacked U.S. Attorney General Janet Reno, who was campaigning for Castor, claiming that Reno's Justice Department had used, quote, armed thugs to seize Cuban refugee Elian Gonzalez and send him back to Cuba, thereby, quote, allowing Fidel Castro to have his way. Well, and once again, Martinez apologized, and after it was noted that he'd previously featured one of the federal agents involved in the Gonzalez raid in a campaign ad attacking Castor as soft on terrorism. You know, and then he says, well, you know, one of our staffers went a little too far with that. Mel Martinez, Are you responsible for anything in your office? Anything at all? Anything? Certainly doesn't sound like it to me. Sound like you don't know what's going on. They're running amok. Let's go to Terry in Dallas. Hi, Terry. That's Jeff. Jeff, are you with us in Dallas?
Sherry, yes.
Yes, go ahead.
Hi. This guy there?
Yes, you're on the air.
Oh, my goodness. I was just calling in, and we talked earlier this afternoon about the loss of a member of our community at Democratic Underground and how much we all miss and love him. And what a terrific person he was.
Well, we sure do miss Jeff, and we're going to miss Jeff always.
I was privileged to get to meet him just a few weeks ago on the phone, and he'd been moving my life in many ways for many years with his tunes. I saved them. I think I sent you the email, and you could probably read it, and it would come across much better than I am.
Well, he was a guy that had...
I'm still crying.
Well, okay. He had more talent than a whole bunch was added together, several people said, and that's for sure.
Well, it's a great loss, and lots of us are coming together, and I just want to reach out to everyone, and...
Well, Terry, we thank you for your call, and we thank you, and I'm sure Jeff's family thank you for your concern. And your thoughts about Jeff are much appreciated. Thank you for calling.
Well, thank you, Guy.
Yeah. We'll hear from a lot of people this evening as we talked about losing our New York bureau, Jeff Matson, a little earlier in the show. You know, I spoke a few minutes ago about eating crow. How many of you heard all the right-wing radio hacks this week talking about this memo deal? Tucker Carlson, for example, he was on the Chris Matthews show, and let me just quote Tucker Carlson. Last week, and I quote, last week a memo surfaced reportedly written by the Republican members of Congress explaining how to make hay with the Terry Schiavo case, the Talking Points memo. I think within a week or two it'll become quite clear that the memo was a forgery. Probably written by Democrats on the Hill in an effort to discredit Republicans. Bloggers are saying that now, and it sounds like they might be right. Well, Tucker, gee whiz. That'd be all right if it wasn't for this staffer of moron Martinez owning up to it. And we had Fred Barnes via the Washington Times. The only evidence was of a dirty trick, and there wasn't much evidence of that. Who else we got? The American Spectator. You want a real right-wing rag. It's Rathergate all over again. And the same vigilant entities that brought about to the collapse of CBS News could now also cause heads to roll and further shame multiple news organizations that would appear to have fallen for another hoax. Here is no evidence that the Talking Points were a Martinez staff product. Well, the American Spectator. Who else we got here said a couple of things. I know I've got a whole list of them around here, but just one of them after another. Hannity talked a whole program about it the other day. The entire program, he talked about this memo saying it was a forgery and the Democrats had done it. The whole show. What do you think, Hannity? You know, when it came up on Friday, you know, he had a whole show on Thursday about it. When it came up on Friday that Martinez people had admitted it, Hannity didn't mention it. He didn't even mention it. What kind of a guy would make a total ass of himself on the radio on a Thursday and get made to look like a total fool and not be man enough? Which, of course, Hannity isn't man enough to come back on Friday and admit that you were wrong. What kind of a man would do that? Sean Hannity is no man. He's a moron. He's an idiot. He's a right-wing lackey saying anything he wants to, and a lot of my right-wing listeners just lap it up. Don't you just love Sean Hannity? How much do you love him now after he looks like a real turkey after that deal? Huh? How much respect have you got for Sean Hannity after he blows that whole deal wide open on Thursday, and it just made to look, he's made to look like the dumbest guy on talk radio? Not that Limbaugh didn't have a whack at it too, because he did. In his drug-induced state, he was also saying that this was a forgery. He just said, yeah, it's a forgery, I know it's a forgery, and he was going on and on. He too doesn't mention it anymore. My, my, my. My, 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 my. These are the people that you listen to for your news, my right-wing friends. These are the people you listen to for your facts. Huh? Aren't these the people you listen to for facts? Yeah, you call the show and you tell me that Hannity said this and Hannity said that, and you send me the filthy emails that, oh, you don't know anything, that Hannity knows everything and Limbaugh knows anything and Laura Ingram. What do you think about this? Huh? You know, if you lap that up and you still defend it, you're just as big a fool as they are. You are. Let's go to Bill in Fort Myers. Hi, Bill.
Hi, how you doing, Guy?
Pretty good.
Sorry you lost your friend, but we'll get over it. I want to say something. Did you know that Larry Kudlow, he was on just the other evening, and he said that the memo did exist, but it was written by an out-of-line aide, and it was never transcribed and never sent to anyone. I wonder how he figured that out.
Well, Kudlow often figures things that, you know.
And I want to say, not to you, but to the purple tongue Kool-Aid-drinking conservatives out there, there's a myth being put out by the right wing that if we raise, you know, if we pay our Social Security tax, we only pay up to $90,000. And Rush Limbaugh goes on and on and on about how this is going to hurt the middle class, because if you're a police officer and you make $55,000 and your wife's a school teacher, and if you combine those two incomes, it's over $90,000 and it's going to hurt you. Now, why is that a myth? That is a myth because each person that has a job pays their own Social Security, and it's not combined with your wife. It's an absolute fabrication. So please, the next time somebody goes on and on about it, please try to catch them on that one.
Well, Bill, we have to remember who's saying it.
Oh, exactly.
You can't believe anything these people say.
And the worst thing about Tom DeLay, and you know I have no use for him, he came out, here he is, a United States representative and a leader in Congress, and he said a treasonous remark when he didn't like the decision on the Shiloh case. He said, if these judges make the wrong decision, there will be a price to pay, and that is pure treason and a breakdown of our government. And I hope he has to pay for that very much.
If that statement of his and that other idiot Cornyn from Texas isn't threats against the judiciary, I don't know what is.
Exactly. And I mean, the president got 94% of the judges that he asked for. It's the best case in the last 25 years of any president. And they're crying because they didn't get 100%, and they're also crying about the Shiloh case. And if Tom DeLay, I think he's going to be such an embarrassment that the Republicans are going to have to spit him out. That's going to be my conclusion. I want to say something about our local representative, Connie Mack IV, down here that represents Southwest Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, he's a yes man for the administration, and he was asked to come down here and have town meetings for this blue sky Social Security plan that the president wants. But think about it. What kind of retirees do we have here? And I'm talking in generalization. There's people in Ohio and Kansas that want to stay where they are, but most retirees want to come to the Sun Belt. But only the ones that are lucky, that worked hard, that are smart, they're the ones that are here. Connie Mack is not going to call a town meeting and present this ridiculous plan to them. And he wouldn't do it, and he never did do it. And I wish he would call your show.
Or one of his people. I wish he would call her so too, Bill.
And the answer that he had a conflict of interest is not going to get it. One, was he asked by the White House to come down here and do it? And two, why didn't he do it unless this Social Security plan is a flop?
Absolutely right, Connie.
One last thing, Guy.
Yeah.
Do you know the name Jeffrey Gannon?
Oh, yes.
I want to say one thing about him. He's the guy that got on into the White House briefing room And, of course, the White House has tremendous security, which we should have. I'm not saying anything bad about that, but you have got to have credentials to get in there. And he was on a show, and he is so pro-Bush that he actually praised Armstrong Williams. Armstrong Williams?
Yeah.
The guy who is supposed to be a journalist and took money to be a lackey, this guy got into the press room with no credentials. He's a fairly young man, and the people on this panel were also young people, and one of them asked him, you know, I wish I could get into the White House briefing room. Could you describe how you did it? And he had a wonderful Bush response. This really covers it. He got in there without credentials because he can't recall how he got in.
Yeah, exactly right.
He can't recall.
Now you're a young reporter, and you've never been to a press conference before, never got in the White House press room before, and you finally get your chance to get in there and stand right in front of the President of the United States with all the other pundits from around the country that are famous here in this country.
And we're at war and they're high security.
Yeah, and you don't remember when it was.
I'll tell you what, you'd have to be a comedian to come up with a better line.
Well, he is a comedian amongst other things.
I'm so happy to have you on there this week, guy, and take care.
Thank you, Bill. Good to hear from you. You know, just going along with you know, a lot of our right wing friends, they love Newsmax. Newsmax is a source of, and they say, well, you know, so what? We listen to Hannity and Limbaugh, but where we get our hard news is from Newsmax. Newsmax this week said that the memo was a fraud and a political dirty trick. That's Wes Vernon of Newsmax. That's what he said, that the Democrats had done it. And, of course, this Powerline blog, which is a big one now that a lot of folks on the right swear by, they question the authenticity. It doesn't sound like something written by a conservative. It sounds like a liberal fantasy of how conservatives talk. They said that about the menu. And let's see, who else we got here? Limbaugh. In his bombastic way, said, why would Democrats do this? Because they're scared of this issue. It's a forged memo, folks. Nobody in the Senate Republican leadership has the slightest idea where this memo came from. There's from your right-wing radio god right there. That's from Rush Limbaugh. This is a fraud. All right. Let's go to John in Cape Coral. Hi, John.
Well, good to have you back on the air again.
Thank you.
And I always enjoyed the comments from the gentleman from New York. I think we'll miss him.
We will.
My concern is that, I don't know, I haven't heard all this on radio and TV this week. All I have heard for the last 2 weeks, first was a diatribe that went on solidly on the Terry Schiavo situation. And then this week has been the coverage of the Pope's death.
That's right.
And frankly, anything else of news has disappeared.
Oh, of course. That's from that liberal media, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, frankly, I'm just wondering if it wasn't promoting a religious agenda. I mean, whether it was CNN, MSNBC, Fox, I mean, even NPR, I mean, such a discussion. And, you know, every time you looked in, there was another member of the Catholic clergy holding forth. Which is fine if you're Catholic, but not all of us are. Not all of us believe in the same things. And I'm wondering if being presented as news is religious propaganda. And I'm wondering, Guy, if we aren't being diverted from the true issues. And frankly, you know, even as you're discussing the issues of Tom DeLay, of the memos, frankly, I'm more concerned about a couple other things. One is the increasing price of gasoline, which hits us all in the pocketbook. 10 cents in 1 week per gallon.
And you heard our guest there, 3 weeks ago, says it's all contrived. Every bit of it's contrived.
And look how much it's hitting us, the average American Joe. Everybody out there is paying. And, of course, all the increased costs are going to hit us on everything else. And if that isn't inflationary, I don't know what is.
Oh, we're headed for a disaster if it keeps up.
And, frankly, I think this is all diversion, which was the topic of my thing. I think we're being diverted from the real issues. And the real issues are what's hitting us in the pocketbook, in our gut. When you haven't got money to pay for things because you got to pay for money to operate your car, because somebody is making these exorbitant profits, and I'm reminded of your guest, something is wrong. When Mr. Bush turns around and says, this is the free market, we have to let it operate, and you know he's connected to Halliburton, Harkin, and Bechtel, and all those other wonderful companies, and so is Cheney, and they're all making their profits at our expense. You know, why aren't we discussing that?
Oh, yeah. You know, the government's been totally mum on this situation about the gasoline.
Well, think about it. You have to be driving a car, I'm sure, to get to the studio, right?
Yes, I do.
You got to be putting gasoline in your tank.
I'm driving a little slower nowadays.
Doesn't make a difference. It still costs.
That's right.
Still got to get there. And everybody is paying, and nobody seems to care. And I don't understand it. I think our attention is being diverted. You know, the Romans used to have circuses. They used to have carnivals. They used to have gladiators. I think all of this is the equivalent of a Roman circus.
Well, it certainly is, and the ringmaster is... Hey, we're going to have to pause for news at the bottom of the hour. John, you can hang on if you want to over the top.
Well, I think I made my point, and I would like to really discuss what is hitting us in the economic pocketbook and what they're doing to us, Guy, because I think more important than all the memos is what's going to be our quality of life.
Hey, we'll talk about it, John.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling. You're listening to the Guy James Show, Wink WNOG, Fort Myers in Naples, Florida. We'll be right back after the news.
The Guy James Show.
Southwest Florida's official news, weather, and traffic station, Wink WNOG.
News Radio, I'm Greg Jarrett. Cameraman or inside man? U.S. military detaining a CBS photographer in Iraq.
This photographer working for CBS is suspected by the U.S. of crossing the line and being tied or aware of insurgent activity in Iraq.
Fox's Julie Kurtz in Washington. Holy silence. The College of Cardinals will no longer talk to the media until they have selected a new pope.
The conclave begins a week from Monday. The Cardinals say it's an act of responsibility as they begin their, quote, intense preparation for the conclave, where 115 of the 118 Cardinals under the age of 80 will sequester themselves behind closed doors and cease all contact with the outside world until a new pope is elected.
Fox's Rick Leventhal in Rome. And Jack won't be back. Six-time champion Jack Nicklaus says he's played his final Masters golf tournament. The 65-year-old received a standing ovation after parring the last hole at Augusta National. Fox News, we report. You disappear.
If you're looking to spend $25,000 to $30,000 for a big new four-door F-150 or Silverado extended cab pickup, wrong commercial. But if you want that all-new Titanic, powerful V8 Titan King Cab XE, $18,488, that's all you pay. If you find your way to Sutherland Nissan today, I'm dead serious. Your big, bad, bodacious V8 four-door Titan King Cab, $18,488. Are you kidding me? Stereo, CD, automatic, and air. Great stuff everywhere. $18,488. Lehigh Acres, are you listening? Naples, Venice, I'm talking to you. For months I've been saying, this is the real steal-a-truck deal, and it's waiting for you right now, smack dab in the middle of Fort Myers, on US 41, south of Bell Tower Shops on Tamiami Trail. Loader new Titan V8 four-door King Cab XE. As little as $18,488 at Sutherland Nissan today. Yippee-yi-yo-ki-yay.
VINs 524.97 and 519.889. Price after factory rebates and dealer discounts, plus government taxes, finance, stock, prep, and emission fees.
Hey, Miss Taylor, come on. Let me get those groceries from you.
Oh, hi, David. Yes, it'll be a big help there.
Okay, well, these are heavy.
Listen, how's the landlord business?
Oh, pretty good.
Did you rent the apartment next door yet?
No, not yet, Miss Taylor, no. Oh, some guy came by today to look at it, but, you know, I didn't even show it to him.
Oh, why not?
Well, come on, he was a brother.
Well, why wouldn't you rent to your brother?
No, a brother, you know, colored, black guy.
Excuse me?
No, don't worry. No, I told him somebody else put down a deposit. It happens all the time. I figured you went on one of them living next door. You know what I mean.
No, David. I don't know what you mean.
The first step in fighting racial prejudice is taking a stand. Imagine the power of one voice. Find yours at freedomcenter.org. A message from the National Underground Railroad Freedom Center and the Ad Council.
I'm Pat Sajak. Taking a chance can pay off big in a...
Hey, guy, 1 minute.
chances with your child's health. Shriners Hospitals provide world-class orthopedic and burn medical care to children totally free of charge. And they combine that care with leading-edge research and an outstanding teaching program. There's a Shriners Hospital serving kids from this area. For more information or to refer a child, call 1-800-237-5055. Shriners, giving help and hope to kids for over 80 years.
Let's play Who Wants to Volunteer in Your Community with Ella in Santa Monica, California.
Hey, wait, I don't want to volunteer.
Volunteering can really be fun. In fact, we've asked your entire algebra class here to tell you more.
But we were thinking that you should start tutoring people because you're all, like, smart and stuff.
I should.
You free tonight?
Sure.
To find out ways you can volunteer in your community, log on to teensvolunteer.org. Do what you like to do. Volunteer. A public service message brought to you by the USA Freedom Corps, the U.S. Department of Justice, the Crime Prevention Coalition of America, and the Ad Council.
Your weekend station, Wink WNOG.
Number one Democratic talk show. And now, you've heard the right. All that's left is the truth. Guy James.
It's a fake, it's a fake, said Rush Limbaugh. Nobody in the Senate Republican leadership has the slightest idea where this memo came from. Oh, yeah. On the pills again, Rush, huh? You know, the other sad, sorry part of this whole episode over this memo this week, and, you know, this memo doesn't mean all that much. It's the apparatus the Republicans have set up to lie, cheat, and steal with the American public. That's what it matters. And this fits in, and this exemplifies what it is they're doing just perfectly. They own the media. They absolutely own it. I'm sure we'll talk more about during this hour about everything we heard this past week about this memo being a forgery that came from the Democrats. Where was the liberal media? Because there is no liberal media, is there? Really? You got some comedians on Air America and a couple of really good broadcasters on there, but not enough stations yet. And you got a couple other people around the country. This is the only program, by the way, that says we're Democratic and we're liberal and proud of it. The only program I think you're going to find. But one of my big problems with this whole thing is where are the Democrats on this memo issue? You know, here we have a blatant example of the utterly deceitful nature of these neocons, blackening the name of Democrats. But what do we hear from the Democrats? Why, nothing, of course, just like you said. They're good little boys and girls. Where's the outrage in the press? You know, why didn't the Democrats get together on Friday and have a news conference on the Capitol steps and expose these people as the champion liars they are? Why? Why would they do that? Tell me, you know, when it comes down to it, tell me why wouldn't the Republicans keep pulling these kinds of tricks since they know the Democrats will just lay down and take it and offer no resistance? You know, I'm really disappointed in the reaction of our elected Democrats on this issue. I've seen and heard several issues about it, and even Tom Harkin, who was the one that Martinez handed the memo to, even he didn't say much. He just said, well, it was unfortunate. 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 A United States senator hands a memo right out of his pocket to another senator of a different party saying that his Republican Party is going to make political hay off the unfortunate death of Terry Schiavo. And Harkin thinks it's unfortunate. You know, Martinez stands there and tells one of the most bold-faced lies ever heard in front of the camera, saying he didn't know anything about the memo and he hadn't read it. And Harkin says, it's unfortunate. You know, let's get this straight. Martinez's legal counsel memo ends up in his pocket somehow. You know, how did this happen? Maybe he happened to be in his counsel's office and picked this particular paper up by mistake and folded it and put it in his pocket. Maybe the legal counsel came into Martinez's offices and handed it to him by mistake. Or maybe they somehow switched jackets by mistake. That's it. They switched jackets. I never thought of that. Whatever. So then Martinez walks out into the Senate floor, hands this paper to Harkin, thinking it was what? Thinking it was what? Let's see now. I'm a United States senator. I walk into the Senate floor, and I hand another senator a piece of paper I have no knowledge of and I have not read. I can't decide which is worse. Martinez having the gall to deny knowing about the paper, or Harkin standing there reading it and saying later it was unfortunate. What does this tell you? It tells me that one of the problems with our party right now is that we've got a significant number of elected Democrats who are willing to play nice with these good-for-nothing scoundrels. You know, this should have been yelled from the rooftops, but we hear practically nothing from our Democratic Party. This is one of the main reasons we're losing elections, folks. It's one of the main reasons. 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. 479-5540 or 263-6570. Give us a call. We've got Diane on the phone. Hi, Diane. There we go. We got Diane on the phone.
Am I here?
Hello. Yes, you are.
Yeah, I missed you last Saturday.
Well, we got preempted by the Pope.
Well, you know what? Rusty Humphreys didn't read at 10 o'clock. Isn't that odd?
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. And the guy that talks to dead people?
Yeah.
They were on right at 10 o'clock. Isn't that odd?
Oh.
So I guess, you know, that tells you about everything.
That tells you about the liberal media.
That tells you exactly what they are. They're scoundrels. And I mean, for George Bush to even go over there to the Pope's funeral, knowing full well how the Pope felt about him and his killing Iraqi children over corporate, you know, I'm so upset, guy. I just can't handle it. Where is the American people's minds and souls? The Shiva, they exploited her. A dying, sick woman. How they exploited this woman. And I mean, there's hospices for these people everywhere that's dying every day. But no, they used her as a puppet just for their own disgusting, ruthless, their soulless goals. How they exploited that woman. And all for what? For political gain. It had nothing to do with caring about her or her family. No more than with the Pope passing. They didn't really care about him either. You know, I mean, these people have nothing except me, me, me written on. And you talk about Martinez and his making his comments. I don't know how he was able to talk, because ever since he got in there and ever since he had his shoulder tapped by the Bushes, it seems to me that, you know, he was super glued by his lips to George's rear end.
Oh, yeah, he's...
So
he's
I'm surprised he was able to come up for air and say something. But, I mean, this is... I'm sorry, but this is how I see these. And to stand and use the name of Jesus, this Tom DeLay, Mr. I am a Christian, I love Jesus, give me a break. You know, these people are blasphemers, and I know they're all... There's got to be a special place in hell for them. And the American people, just like down there on the border, our wonderful Minutemen, where were they 3 years ago when they were cutting me off on radio and laughing me out of town? Because I kept calling and saying, our borders are not sealed. Well, hell, there's hundreds of thousands of them in here now. Who knows what's in this country? And what they all said now, you know, and 3 years, 4 years later, acting like, gee, maybe we ought to finally do something, which is ridiculous. It's like they had a guy on the radio, a new guy, because they took Ernie Brown off late at night on Coast to Coast, and they put this new neocon on there, Craig somebody. But anyway, he's talking about how wonderful playing up these Minutemen down there, and that they were upset with Bush because he called them vigilantes to Fox from Mexico. But you know what? These people are doing people out of jobs. That's exactly what the Republican Party loves. They love for you to give everything to them for free. Work for them for free. You know, don't worry about people having absolute jobs. You know, do it for free for us. Be our slave. Anyway, he was talking about his big show. I mean, this is how interesting their shows are. What could he do to take his wife out come Saturday night? Well, I called, I told him, they wouldn't let me on the air, of course. But I said, tell him to go take his wife to a nuclear power plant and sit there and watch and make sure the terrorists start getting into it. You know, I mean, that would be the greatest date, I think.
There you go.
You know, but this is, I mean, they won't let me on the air. They cut me off.
Well, hey.
You're the only one that does, and that is because I feel you have something real to say. When you're on the air, you don't waste air time. You don't play people for fools, and you don't exploit sick people and the helpless. And you know what, Guy? Thank you for that, because you're one of the very few that's left.
Thanks for your call, Diane.
Thank you.
Good to hear from
Bye.
You. You know, I know a lot of you watched a lot about the Pope this week and all, and I did think Bush went for the photo op. Why? You know, some of my right-wing friends or Republicans are going to say, hey, does he think Bush does anything with pure motives? No. No, I don't. I'm sorry. And I have good reason. And if you think about all that we've talked about on this program, even today, I have good reason. You know, I've heard people say that they look into Bush's eyes and they see him as a spiritual man. I've never seen him face to face, but looking at him on TV, when I look into his eyes, I see a man with no soul. It's empty. We've talked about his head being empty for in other reasons, but I don't think he has a soul. I really don't. You know, there may have been a mention of it on the news, but I didn't see or hear any mention of it about Bush getting booed at the funeral. He got booed at the funeral of the Pope. But I guess it would be expecting too much for our news media to give us the honest news. It would be kind of unrealistic. But, yeah, when they showed his picture, they booed and whistled. And I think he's too dumb to know what whistling means. If someone whistles at you in Europe, that's the same thing as a boo here in this country. So he got both. Isn't that a proud moment? The President of the United States gets booed at the Pope's funeral, for God's sake. But the media didn't say anything about it. You know, without these media whores, they probably wouldn't have been a Bush administration in the first place. You know, and Bush probably didn't know why they whistled at him when his picture screen, you know, came up on the screen. And, you know, there's been a lot of talk about taking Clinton along with him. You know, taking Clinton along with him to that funeral reminded me of the kid who had to tie a pork chop around his neck to get the dog to play with him. Same thing. Same thing. You know, Clinton's received every place he goes as an intelligent, great ex-president. Every place he goes, he's received with honor and high esteem. So if I was Bush, I'd want to take Clinton along with me, too. But, you know, Bush is seen as a pariah. I don't care where he goes. He's looked at as a pariah. There's no place in this world he can go. Well, there is one place he can go. It's one of those staged phony baloney meetings where you have to swear allegiance to him to get in. You know, one of those things where you got to get the tickets ahead of time. Let's go to Barbara in Naples. She wants to talk about the Pope. Hi, Barbara.
Hi, guys. I'm an independent. I try and listen to everything and judge fairly. I love the Pope. Mm-hmm. I truly did love the Pope. I'm of Polish heritage and very, very proud of the Pope. But the one thing that resounded in everything that I heard in the past week or so is that he encouraged and urged people to love one another. Guy, I've heard nothing but hatred on your show since I've tuned in. Diane was just unbelievable. Can't we try and get over some of this hate and unstand? I listen to you. I listen to the right-wing shows.
try and understand, but I see Patriot. I heard about.
Do you listen to Rush Limbaugh?
Sometimes, yes.
And you don't hear any hatred from him?
Yeah, I do.
Do you listen to Sean Hannity?
I like Sean Hannity.
You like Sean Hannity, but I'm hateful? Listen, that little son of a gun ought to be wearing one of those black Nazi uniforms.
What?
You're going to call this show and say, I talk about hate, and you say you love Sean Hannity? He's the most ruthless little no-good SOB in show business. And that's exactly what he is. He's a showbiz. He doesn't. He couldn't mean anything, he says.
I wouldn't talk about anybody like that.
Guy. Really? Well, I would. I'd talk about him like that. You called up here and said, this show's hateful. Hateful? What have I said that's been not true tonight so far? You want to tell me? I just told you a bunch of stuff, quotes from Sean Hannity that weren't true. Quotes that weren't, absolutely weren't true. Tell me what I've said tonight that hasn't been true. Go ahead, I'm waiting.
You need to calm down.
Tell me what I've said tonight that hasn't been the truth. I'm waiting.
You need.
Tell me what I've said that's not been true. I told you the first part of this show that one lie after another that Sean Hannity, you called me and tell me you love Sean Hannity, and I've proven to you that he's a damn liar, and you call me and say I'm hateful. Tell me what I've said tonight that's not been true. Go ahead.
Number one.
Yeah, let's go.
You haven't proven anything about Sean.
You want me to read the quotes from him again?
Quote number two.
You want me to read the quotes from Sean Hannity again?
No, number two, you...
No, there is no number one. You didn't get past number one. Those words I gave you from Sean Hannity were from direct transcripts of Sean Hannity. Not only are they from transcript, I heard them myself and then got the transcript.
Well,
so I haven't said anything that's not true about Sean Hannity, so you have no number one there.
Number two, guy, you told me that the mainstream media is not... George Bush being... I heard it on Fox News Network, guy.
On what?
On the Fox News Network.
Oh, on Fox News. You heard about him getting booed.
When was that? It was the morning of the funeral, somewhere between the hours of 9.
And Fox News talked about Bush getting booed. How do you feel about Bush
That's
getting booed?
That's right. I'm not lying, guy. I don't lie. I have no reason to lie. I don't understand what Sean Hannity said was sinful. I don't understand.
You don't understand about his lie about this memo?
What?
You don't know what I'm talking about, do you?
No, I don't know.
Okay,
you
goodbye. You know, when you get educated on what's really going on in the world, when you get educated enough to make an intelligent decision about what's going on in this world, when you go to the ballot box, or you tell me you love a guy like Sean Hannity, then you call back when you actually learn what's going on in the world, because it's obvious you don't know. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I love Sean Hannity. Well, you keep right on lying, loving that little Nazi if you want to. Do I hate Sean Hannity? I've never really met him personally, but let me tell you this much. I despise everything he stands for. I despise everything him and Limbaugh and Mike Savage and Bill O'Reilly stand for. I do. Because they don't stand for truth. We just have a woman call here. I doubt her name was Barbara because she got caught up herself there and mentioned the caller Barbara. So it wasn't a real name. But we have people call here like that, and you tell them nothing but truth, and you ask them to prove that you've said something that was a lie tonight, and it never happens, does it? Of course it doesn't. I'll read you one quote after another of these damn Republican right-wing wackos on the air talking about this memo this week, one flat-out lie like another one. One after another, after another, after another. But will they accept it? No. No, they'll go back to the polls and vote for Mel Martinez again. Because Rush and Sean, who we love Sean. We love Sean Hannity. He's such a good guy. He's just a great family man. And of course, don't forget, he's a great American. Everybody that calls in, he's a great American. Sean, you're a great American. Well, you're a great American right back. Oh, my God. You know, sometimes... I don't know. You know, we were talking about... This woman said she loved the Pope. She did. She said she loved the Pope. And, you know, it seems to me I'm not Catholic. Not at all. But I've studied Catholicism quite a little bit, and I do know quite a bit about it. It's hard to live in this world and not be aware of the fact that this Pope was held in really high regard by Protestants, Jews, Muslims, and many other religious sects. And the fact is that he's been good for this world. He has. And that fact is inescapable. I totally believe that John Paul II will be remembered as a great pope and a humanitarian of the highest order. He's not discriminated in his love of the human race, and he endeavored to help the people of the world of all faiths, and he did. I admired that so much. I've not agreed with his stances on birth control and stem cell research. Who could? Ironically, the stem cell research might someday lead to a cure for the Parkinson's disease that afflicted him for so long. But I've never doubted for a minute that he really was a man of conviction, and he believed most of his views were best for mankind. He's leaving a legacy that includes, no matter how you figure it, some part to end communist control of Poland. He worked hard to bridge the gap between Jews and Catholics and other religions, and he reached out to leaders of all faiths so that through understanding of each other and the world might become a better place. And I think he did well at that. Now, I'm not a Catholic, but I do believe that all mankind really benefited from this man's existence. They really did. I will never agree with him on birth control. In Africa, the problems going on in Africa. I don't know how anybody could look at that situation right now with millions of people dying from AIDS and rejecting birth control and condoms and so forth. And I'm at a loss. That just doesn't make any sense whatsoever to me. But when life's over for all of us, we got to put our good points and our bad points on the scales and see how they weigh out. And I think his weighed out to be positive, that's for sure. Was there ever a funeral on this earth quite like that one? I learned a lot this week. I looked a lot at that as from the historical standpoint this year and this week. Learned a lot of history that I didn't know. I'm always one of these ones that likes to dig in and find all these little nuanced things that nobody would care about but me. I thought about the Room of Tears on the side there of the Sistine Chapel where they go immediately upon accepting the papacy. I thought that was interesting there. The story about the tailor who makes the three sets of vestments, small, medium, and large, for the new pope once he accepts. I thought that was a fascinating story. Lots of great human interest stories going on with that this week. And my goodness, did you ever see, has the earth ever seen a crowd of people like that? I have to tell you, I'm one, my wife and I differ on this, but I'm one that had I been somewhere in the vicinity in Europe, I would have gone and I would have stood in that line from a historical standpoint. I would have. I admired the man and all that, but I'm one of those ones. I would have done it. I would have stood in line. But, someone talking about one of the funny things that people think of, and I've talked to other people about this as well. We all saw those huge lines this week, and they were huge lines. Did you see any porta-potties anywhere? Did anybody see a picture of a porta-potty anywhere in Rome this week? I didn't. And I got to wondering about that because they stood in line for 6, 8, 10, 12, 24 hours, and I saw no porta-potty. So I just wondered, I wonder about things like that. I don't know why. Let's go to Ken in Naples. Hi, Ken.
How you doing, guy?
Good.
When we were talking about the Pope's funeral and about the president, the politics involved with him going there, certain amount of truth to that, I'm sure, but there was just as much politics with Bill Clinton going there because Bill is stumping for his wife, will probably be the Democratic selection coming up in the next presidential
election. So you think Bill Clinton went because of Hillary's going to run in the next election, the guy that had been around the Pope more than the rest of presidents combined? He went because of Hillary?
Sorry.
Huh?
I'm sorry, I didn't. My phone faded off. Hear that last part.
So you think the reason Bill Clinton was there because of Hillary? That Bill Clinton being the president that's been around the Pope more than all the rest of the presidents combined?
Just about everything Bill Clinton does is something political, guy. He's the most politically astute individual that's probably ever existed in the United States.
Really?
And that's not always a negative. Don't construe it as such. He's a very incredible, astute political animal.
Well, he's smart too. Did you notice that when they were singing a couple of the songs in Latin, he was mouthing the words along as well?
He is.
Bush probably thought that the words were in Spanish.
Right. This is the reason, guy, why his wife should not be running for president. She's trying to emulate her husband. She is not as bright as him. She is not as nice as him. And remember one thing, guy.
I disagree. I've been around Hillary Clinton.
That's fine, guy. She's not as bright as him. She is not as nice as him.
Well, you and I don't know if she's as bright as him now, do we? We don't know if she's as bright as him, do we?
Oh, yeah, he's a Rhodes Scholar. She isn't, guy. It's kind of that's besides the point. She's not as nice. She's not as sincere as he is.
How do you know she's not as nice?
Because I've read a lot of books.
No. You don't judge a person on how nice they are by reading a book. I can tell you for a fact that Hillary Clinton is a lady. She's a swell person. I've spent the better part of two afternoons with Hillary Clinton, and I think she as far as people go, she's as nice as they get.
Guy, that could be very true. I'm not going to dispute
that. It is true.
Because you've been in her company, and you would know more than me. But let's look at one fact before I go.
But you said she wasn't nice.
No. Let's look at one fact.
No, you said she wasn't nice. You did. You said
just from what I've read. I could be wrong.
Yeah, you are wrong.
Right, I'm wrong, guy. Let me state one more fact. Ever since the Clintons have gotten on the national political scene, the party has been nothing but go downhill. They lost the Senate, they lost the Congress, and they lost the governorships. And people in the Democratic Party don't get it. The Clintons are bad for the party, and they will go down again. That's all I have to say on the issue, guy. It's a fact. As you know, Hillary being a nice person, I can tell you the fact. That she has hurt the party tremendously. And the Democrats don't get it. And
what don't they get?
They don't get the fact that they're bad for the party, their leadership.
And how have they been bad for the party?
They have lost the senator's job.
No. What did they do to lose that?
Their aura, their policies, their bad news skill. You don't understand. The reason that Bush won this last election is a lot of people felt he was a pretty good guy. They don't feel that way about Bill Clinton. Was right that they did initially.
Wait a minute. You know as well as I do that this guy's got the lowest poll numbers of any second term president in modern history. And Bill Clinton could run tomorrow and be in the presidency.
Maybe right, but he.
Well, yeah, of course I'm right. If Bill Clinton ran again, he would win again.
An adulterer and a guy and a perjurer can win. If that's what Americans think he's okay, he lied under oath, guy.
Oh, he lied under oath about that sex thing. Oh, my God.
No, not about the
sex. Let's crucify him. Get out the cross and let's nail him to it. My God, he lied about... Oh, I lied. I lied. He lied.
That wasn't the point. He lied. He tried to convince Betty Curry to lie for him. He's a perjurer, guy.
Oh.
Sex
Let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question. You know a lot of guys, right?
Pardon me?
You know a lot of men, right?
Sure.
Do you know even one that upon being accosted about being an adulterer, do you know one that would stand there and say, yep, I did it all right? Do you know one?
I don't associate with that many people that are adulterers, but I don't know.
Yes, you have. Whether you know it or not.
To be honest with you, I've been married over 30 years.
Well, I don't care how long you've been married, but if you're living in the public in this country, 40% of the men that you've been associated with in your life have been adulterers. That's a fact. 40%. Has one of them ever come up to you and said, I'm an adulterer?
You see the statistics the other day. Young people don't think oral sex is sex.
Hey, don't change the subject on me. You're doing this old Republican crap. If you get knocked in the head on one subject, let's move on to another.
I said,
do you know a guy that would stand there and admit that he'd been an adulterer? Name one.
Guy, I don't think that there's been that many presidents that are known adulterers. That's the point.
I don't think Eisenhower was an adulterer. I don't know if think FDR was an adulterer. I don't think Harry Truman was an adulterer.
Well, you obviously don't know your history. Because Eisenhower's been accused of it. George Bush the First has been accused of it. Franklin Delano Roosevelt accused of it. And let me tell you, one I know for a fact was Warren G. Harding.
That's going back ways, guy.
Was Warren G. Harding an adulterer or not?
JFK was just like Rush Limbaugh, according to you. He was a drug addict. JFK was hopped up on all kinds of illegal drugs given by his physicians.
Do you know that? Did John Kennedy ever say that?
It's all known. It's the family released records. That, of course, it's all out now that he's dead. Of course. See, we all have shortcomings, guy. But getting back to the point, I will put this out to the audience. The Clintons are bad for the party. Have people call in.
Well, I think everybody better just pay attention to this guy right here. He knows. So what are the Republicans going to do? What are the Democrats going to do to get back in favor here? Oh, he hung up. Why do I talk to morons like that? Somebody smack me next time I talk to a moron like that. You know, that's what happens when you get somebody on the phone like that. And I suppose in one way it's fun. They're like those little cockroaches. You hit them one place and they move to another real fast. You know, every time you hit a Republican in the head with the truth, they move right to another subject right away. Bang, zoom. He lied under oath. He lied under oath. Let's kill him. Oh, yeah. Hey, before I get killed, let's go to a break right here now. You're listening to the Guy James Show. We'll be back in a couple of minutes. We're going to pause for a break. Don't go anywhere.
Restoring the liberal media, the Guy James Show.
Southwest Florida's official news, weather, and traffic station. Wink WNOG.
Son, you're a young man now. I just wanted to take a few minutes and talk about, well, about men and women.
I know all about that stuff.
You might know a little biology, but do you know how to treat a woman?
How do I treat a woman, Dad?
Oh, I'm not going to tell you. You'll have to figure it out for yourself.
How?
Well, first I suggest you watch a lot of bad TV and violent movies and observe how women get treated there.
Okay, I'm kind of doing that already. What else?
Well, be sure to take careful note of what irresponsible older boys say at school.
I sure will.
Sometimes the only message boys get is the wrong one. By teaching boys early that violence against women is wrong, you can help prevent domestic violence. For tips on what to say, visit www.endabuse.org. End abuse. Teach early. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council and the Family Violence Prevention Fund.
In Florida, call 1-800-500-1119. Brought to you locally by the Florida Coalition Against Domestic Violence.
Experts report that adult-onset diabetes has soared by more than a third in the last 10 years. The most common dental problems of diabetes are dry mouth, tooth decay, periodontal disease, and taste impairment. Dry mouth is when the body doesn't produce enough saliva. A healthy flow of saliva is needed to wash away food particles and cut down on tooth decay. To relieve dry mouth, consider using sugarless gum or mints and take frequent sips of water. Cut down on caffeine and restrict your use of alcohol. Diabetics may also experience taste impairment. The ability to taste sweet foods is diminished. This may influence food choices where patients eat foods very high in sugar and carbohydrate content. This may affect dental and overall health. Be sure to practice good oral hygiene by brushing twice a day, flossing daily, and getting regular dental checkups. Ask your dentist if you have any questions. For the ADA Dental Minute, I'm Dr. Maria Lopez-Howell. To find out more about your dental health, visit ADA online at ada.org.
1 minute.
Well, because Mother Nature wanted to match your pretty little eyes.
Nope, not even close. See, all colors have wavelengths that are diffused by oxygen and nitrogen. Since blue has the shortest wavelength, it's diffused up to 10 times more. So the human eye sees more of it than any other color. That's why the sky looks blue, Daddy.
Who in the world taught you that?
Mommy.
By sixth grade, too many girls lose interest in math and science. And in just a few short years, almost all of the jobs they'll want will depend on having these skills. So keep her interest alive any way you can.
Daddy, do you know why the concept of odd and even is a philosophical illusion?
He said he wanted to talk about China and some of the policies that Bush has put in place. You need more than that?
Remember, it's her future. Do the math. A public service message brought to you by Girl Scouts of the USA and the Ad Council.
Your weekend station, Wink WNOG.
And now, back to the nation's number one Democratic talk show host, Guy James.
And we're back with you on the Guy James Show, 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. If those are toll-free numbers for our friends around the world, and 479-5540 here in Lee County, Florida, and in Collier County, Florida, 263-6570. We do hope you'll give us a call and talk to us about, well, about anything you want to about tonight on any of the subjects that we've... You know, some of the calls I've had here this evening, it just proves that there's an ocean, really an ocean of poorly informed idiots out there on the other side. That's what Bush and his gang have counted on all along, and they haven't been disappointed, have they? You know, no matter what kind of garbage they put out for their followers to eat, they they lap it up. The overwhelming right-wing media machine just keeps shoveling it out there, and the Republican herd just keep eating it up. And I'll bet you even today, I'll bet there are millions of Republican voters out there who believe that Democrats made that memo last week. But then I talked to a couple of callers like I had here this last half hour. Our studio audience has something. You had something to say about me talking to someone like that?
Yes, it seems that when a caller calls in and debates with you and tries to make a point and finds that he's losing because he doesn't really have an answer and you persist him on that answer, it always seems to go back to Clinton. He lied under oath. Because this is his only escape from your questioning, because he doesn't have any answers. The only thing he has is he lied under oath. This is his only salvation.
He lied under oath.
He lied.
Oh, yeah. Like I said before, in history. Folks. But I've said before, we're all wearing the blue dress now. That's for sure. Hey, let's go back to the phones, and let me see here. Let's go to Greg in Naples. Hi, Greg.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Good. I just wanted to call, you know, my father voted in this last election, and he voted for, now this is a Democrat all of his life,
mm-hmm.
Never voted outside of the Democratic Party except he voted for Reagan's second term, mm-hmm. and voted for George Bush this time around.
And why did he vote for George Bush?
Well, I was raised a Democrat, and as time's passed, he says he's seen a big change in the party over time.
Really?
And the reason for that is that, and the people that are representing the party now, that reason is he doesn't feel like, and I really don't feel like, that the party represents itself like it used to. It's almost like, and the people that are representing the party now, and the people that they've, you know, the talking points and everybody that's speaking for the party, instead of talking about issues, instead of talking about the doctrine, instead of talking about what the party stands for, it seems like it's constantly talking about the Republican Party, those people in particular. I mean, I listen to you, and I listen to this channel 1270 because I listen to the news, and during the week it's mostly, you know, conservative right wing talk show hosts, but I listen to you, and you come across as being very bitter, and, you know, to use stuff like with Mr. Martinez is to say he's a damn liar.
He is.
Or using the words idiot and moron.
He is.
I mean, you need to talk a little bit more, I would imagine, about what you stand for instead of talking so much about the people that stand for something else.
Well, you don't understand politics, do you?
Well,
we're the opposition party right now. We're not in power right now.
I understand that. But
and we have to give reasons why the other party is not good enough to hold on to the power.
I haven't heard the reasons. All I hear is, attacking.
You haven't heard the reasons. All right. You don't think the fact that Tom DeLay, for example, do you want to defend his actions here on this program?
I would never defend Tom DeLay's actions.
Okay, he's the leader of your people in the House of Representatives. He's the leader. So
I know who he is. The thing is that I don't. I mean, instead of if I listen to right-wing talk show hosts, say Hannity or Rush or these guys, you know, they do their share of beating people up, but they still talk about things that they stand for. And when I listen to right-wing people, left-wing people, it's very rare that I hear that they're standing for anything or talking about any issues. They're just, and it is, I know you're, that the Democrats are the opposition party, but instead of attacking everybody, I think that you would serve the party much better by talking about what you stand for in opposition.
So what would what good would it us do do us now as the opposition party to bring up what we want to do when we know we have no chance of passing it in this Congress?
Well, but it's not the point of whether or not you can pass it or not. You can't get there without younger people being brought into the party. If you want to try to bring younger people into the party and keep the people that are in the party, it seems that you would talk about and discuss the issues instead of.
Well, let me bring up a few differences between the party. Okay,
yeah.
Stick with me here.
Sure.
Free delivery of mail, the Federal Reserve System, child labor laws, voting rights for women. Let's see, what else? The Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, the Federal Land Bank. Where else should we go here? The REA, electrification for people in the soil conservation, Social Security, FHA. What else have we got here? Medicaid, Medicare, equal employment opportunities, the GI Bill of Rights. Now, those are all things that the Democratic Party have done and continue to back. Tell me, what has the Republican Party done? I just gave you a short list of.
That's not exactly why I called.
Let's stop here for a minute. You're not going to shout me down here on my own show. I just gave you a short list of things Democrats have accomplished
I think all of those are wonderful things.
Okay, now it's your turn. Now it's your turn to tell me what the Republicans have done for us. Okay, go ahead.
We'll discuss those issues more often instead of discussing. Instead of attacking people personally all the time, it gets kind of old listening to somebody that's very bitter. You know,
and so you listen to Hannity and Limbaugh, and you don't think I tell you,
it doesn't make for good listening to listen to somebody call somebody a damn liar or an idiot or a moron.
Really?
That's fine. I mean, everybody has their opinion.
No, that's not an opinion. It's not an opinion. It's fact.
Well,
if you think that Mel Martinez didn't know what was on that paper when he when he had it in his pocket, now come on now, let's be fair here.
Well, I would be.
You really think Mel Martinez, a United States senator, who
say
was
that you're right?
Huh?
Say that you're right.
Uh-huh.
And say that you are. And
I am right.
But the point I'm making is that. There's ways to discuss that happening in the way that you're wanting to perceive that happening without, you know, saying he's a damn liar.
What should I say? He prevaricated a bit?
The whole Democratic Party is coming across as being beaten and really pissed off about it.
Well, should we be happy about that 51 million people went to the polls and pulled the wrong lever? Should I be pleased about that? Should I be pleased what's happening to this country during this Bush administration? Do you understand the direction this country has taken since this Bush administration took over? This country's gone to hell in the handbasket since George Bush took office, and I should be pleased about it?
No, but I think that you should be more. I think you should look towards the future instead of
the future. My God, if this guy has three more years or four more years at the break we've been going, there won't be any future for America.
Well,
somebody's got to wake up.
There's an awful lot of people that believe that there is a future for America. Because
have you seen the direction this country has taken under George Bush?
If that wasn't the case,
how much are you paying for gasoline right now? Have we caught Osama bin Laden? Have we won the war in Iraq? Have we lost 1,534 people as of today? George Bush has been nothing but a disaster for this country. And I have nothing to be happy about with George Bush at the helm.
It may be so.
It is so.
But
should I sit here and say, oh, geez, I'm happy about it?
And the point I'm trying to make is that you should probably try to talk about the issues that you stand for instead of the people that you're against.
Well, I'll tell you what. You get your show and you talk about it the way you want to, and I'll do it the way I want to. Let's see. Where are we going to go here? We're going to go to John in Fort Myers. Hi, John.
Well, I just heard 10 minutes, and I don't know what that man said.
I don't know either. I don't know why I do that.
Well, I love to hear them, though. I love to know they're out there. Same with that other guy that called before that. Now, let me tell this man what he's got to look forward to. Because I happen to listen to shortwave radio, and a lot of people say, oh, for Christ's sakes, so what? Well, you learn about what's going on the other side of the planet. Now, China... I listen to China radio. It broadcasts in English. And they tell a lot about their country. Don't tell much about our country. I don't think I've heard anything at all. But they build themselves as the fastest growing economy. Now, the people in India that used to learn English, and I understand there's people in England that already spoke English, they're learning Mandarin, not English. Now, the Indians have been taking our jobs over there and so forth. We've heard all this stuff. Now, why do you think that they're starting to learn Mandarin, the Chinese language? Because that's where that business is going. This country is going to find itself way behind the eight ball. And people just don't want to accept it. They'll listen to people like you've described, Limbaugh and all the rest. And I don't understand why people listen to Limbaugh when I've heard an ad for him where he tells you that you're not as smart and as intelligent as he is.
Yeah.
And you listen to this man, you're not going to learn anything from this guy because he's an arrogant SOB.
Ditto's, Rush.
Yeah. So, anyway, the Australians, now you can pick off Australia radio till 8 o'clock in the morning here from about 4 to 8 a.m., and they see China as an opportunity now, not a threat anymore. And they're in trade negotiations and the whole bag of stuff that, so they're not going to deal with us, they're going to deal with China. And, folks, you better wake up. We've been sold down the river by Bush and his bunch, probably a bunch of Democrats before that, who knows. Walmart has a great deal to control. And look at these guys. George Bush's father was playing golf with Sam Walton while Hillary Clinton was on the board of Walmart.
Oh, yeah.
So, Prince Bandar is a friend of George Bush's father, probably this President George Bush, I don't know. But Jimmy Carter stays at Prince Bandar's thing up in the snow country out there in the West. So, we're being sold down the river, mister. This guy that talked last, doesn't he realize these things? Quit listening to these Kennedys and all these characters that have bad reputations. I just loved it with O'Reilly. I saw Roger Ailes the other day being asked the question about O'Reilly, and he says, well, that's been settled and so forth, and I don't talk about those things.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, sure. So,
hey.
Some things that Bush has done, he's ordered some base closings without presenting this to Congress. That was done during last week. When they give the cost of living figures, I'm always going nuts over those because they don't figure into their numbers the cost of food and fuel. What has gone up faster than anything else? And you don't count that in the cost of living?
Yeah. So, well, like they say, liars figure. Got to move on, John.
Oh,
I got a whole board full here. Hey, we are going to have, I want to warn everybody, we're going to have a few minutes of Republican love coming up in the third hour tonight, so be ready for that. Always like to talk about our pubby love to everybody.
Hey, we're going to go up, and right now we're going to take a little drive up to Westport, Connecticut, and talk to Greg. Hi, Greg.
Hi, Guy. How are you doing?
Good to hear from you, my friend.
Well, first I'd like to talk about that guy a couple callers ago, that dimwit. And, you know, the people who always call and they say this to Randy Rhoads, too. They say, oh, you're so bitter, you're so hateful. Well, if you listen to Limbaugh and those people during the Clinton administration, the Clintons were murderers, he was a rapist, this, that, and the other. So these hypocrites, they say, how dare you, you know, insult our president and our first lady. We're the first ones to jump on the bandwagon and do it under Clinton.
Never saw that, you never saw that video that Falwell sold called the Clinton Chronicle City. Yeah.
So, there's a whole bunch of that stuff, you know. So these hypocrites, they should do a LexisNexis search.
And, you know, you're absolutely right, Greg. And the other thing is, I should sit here and be pleased and say nice things about a man who is
Well, you know, you could have some legitimate beefs about Clinton, but you can also have a long list of positive things that he did. Bush, you know, you want to talk the environment, you want to talk education, you want to talk the economy, you want to talk our foreign policy. He failed in every single area. Like you, someone challenged me not too long ago to come up with something good that he did. Finally, I thought of something, but it took a long, long time.
Well, you're exactly right. He's failed at everything. But you know, Greg, he's a good Christian man.
Oh, yeah. Well, anyway, let me get to the point here, and this is actually some good news this week, and this is an example. The guy wanted to know what Democrats stand up for. Here's a little something. I don't know how many people heard about this, but there was this really awful program that was going to go down in Florida. I don't remember what county it was in, where they were going to go to the poorest of families and say, we'll pay you $900 to see how your children react to pesticides.
Yeah.
And, you know, they were going to do this, go down to people who are really poor and desperate and say, oh, yeah, we'll take that $900 and let their kids be affected by these pesticides. Well, this week, Barbara Boxer, and believe it or not, Bill Nelson, I mean, he doesn't do that much, it's useful, but this week he did, they said they were going to block the appointment of the EPA administrator, I think his name is Stephen Johnson, if they don't cancel that horrible program, and they did.
Well, it was a disgrace. The idea that anybody would even bring it up, it just floored me.
Yeah, but that's a point, you know, that caller said, well, why don't we push what we do? This is what most Democrats do, and you never even hear about it. I mean, I challenge any Republican listeners to call in and defend that program that our EPA was trying to put forward.
Sure.
You know? And this is what our Democrats stand up for and try to fight against.
Well, you know, Greg, it only would have been a few poor people that got to, you know, it just would have been a few poor people.
Oh, sure. You know, they're poor and we don't know them, so who cares?
It used to be just a few black people and then just a few poor people. And the best is poor black people. That's when it's the best.
They can't vote in this country, see, so then it's really good. They can't complain at the ballot box anymore.
Oh, I tell you. Greg, thanks so much for your call. It was good to hear from you. My goodness. Let me see. We got a couple of minutes till the top of the hour. Let's go ahead. Juanita's been waiting forever. Hi, Juanita. How are you?
Hello there, you bitter man.
I'm a bitter man. I'm going to sit here and smile every time I think about the war in Iraq and the economy going to pot. I'm going to smile.
Well, I had an answer to the lady, and well, you had some many calls since then to answer.
Well, that's all right. You just go ahead with yours, Juanita.
I love the Pope, too, and I'm a liberal. And, you know, he was a man, but I think I'm like you. I think overall what he did will be remembered as great. And I know that Clinton's to blame for everything that goes wrong, even before he was born.
He's a bad man.
Yeah, I know that. And Hillary, you know, I heard this guy on C-SPAN the other day. He's got a book he wrote about Hillary's secret army that she's had since she's been in office.
Ooh.
And she gets all these underhanded things done, and she gets the press to do things, get things done. But I wonder why she couldn't get her medical plan.
Yeah.
Why she didn't get the army after that?
Well,
you know.
You bring up a good point. If these people are that powerful,
right?
What happened to that? And it would have been a good thing for America.
Right. So then I wonder if any of these people call themselves Christians, because if they've ever read the New Testament and Jesus' writings, Jesus called the hypocrites. He called the Pharisees the leaders of the day. Jewish leaders of the day, and probably some of the others, he called them some of the worst names, including that they were of their father, the devil. You know what I'm saying?
And she's saying,
oh, you're supposed to do this, you're supposed to do that. But I didn't like that lady saying that about, is it Grace that calls?
Barbara.
Barbara was the other one that calls nearly every show.
Oh, I don't know.
Well, I think you did, but you forgot, you know. But anyway, she's real good.
Diane, maybe.
I just can't think of it right now. But I resent her saying that she's bitter and hateful.
Hillary Clinton. Let me tell you, and I don't say it lightly, but I like Hillary Clinton. I do, and she's a fine lady. She's extremely intelligent.
Well, I would like to know that guy saying that Hillary wasn't as smart as.
How does he know that?
As her husband, but. I think she's a little bit smarter than Bush.
Well, he said, Bill was a Rhodes Scholar and she wasn't. I don't think Albert Einstein was a Rhodes Scholar either. Hey, got to move on, Juanita.
But, you know, I think she is smarter than Bush, don't you?
Well, a toad is smarter than Bush. Come on. Thanks for your call, Juanita.
Okay.
Oh, well, she was a good straight man there. Give me a smarty. Don't want to say that around me. This is something smarter than Bush. Of course, there's going to be somebody call now and say, but he's got an MBA in the business. He's the first president of the United States to ever have an MBA in business. Boy, remember back when he was campaigning the first time telling us, boy, he'd be able to whip this economy into shape and we'd just be living milk and honey here in this country because he had an MBA in business. And of course, with the vice president having a connection to the oil business, man, things would be great here from now on. Oh, yeah. Well, hey, listen, I do want you to know you're listening to the Guy James Show. Wink and WNOG, 1270 and 1240 in Fort Myers and Naples, Florida. And we'll be back right after the news at the top of the hour. I expect you'll be here when we get back.
A Democrat and proud of it, Guy James.
Southwest Florida's official news, weather, and traffic station. Wink WNOG.
News Radio, on Greg Jarrett, disappearing without a trace.
We've utilized a myriad of investigative tools to find them. We just can't imagine the anguish that the family is going through.
Family and friends searching for a missing couple, Danielle Imbo and Richard Patron, last seen 2 months ago in Philadelphia.
This case has stumped authorities, which is why family is conducting two separate searches today. One here at Albaline Restaurant in downtown Philly, where the couple was last seen on February 19th. The other search in Marlton, New Jersey, not far away from Danielle's home.
Fox's Julie Banderas. Demonstration instead of celebration. Iraqi protesters marking the two-year anniversary of the fall of Baghdad.
Now, there were some mocking effigies of President Bush and Prime Minister Tony Blair. They could be seen. Some were dressed in orange suits of kidnapping victims, and some recreated those positions from the famous Abu Ghraib photo, stacking themselves in a pyramid.
Fox's Greg Kelly reporting in Baghdad. Fox News, we report. He's decided.
It's spring in Colonial Suzuki. And why are we going crazy? Because did you know the number one seller in Japan's mini car market is Suzuki? That American Suzuki sales are up 28%. And that Colonial Suzuki is the largest in Florida. With it right now, you can get into a brand new Suzuki for under 10 grand.
Hey, buy now, $99.99.
We've got hundreds of new Suzukis, all backed by the 7-year, 100,000-mile warranty that's fully transferable.
Suzuki Mania.
Yes. Rio or Forenza SMT, just $99.99. Or even full-size XL7s or utility vehicles now, just $17,699.
Crazy
prices! Rio or Forenza SMT, now $99.99. The lowest prices in Florida, now during Suzuki Mania.
Hey, make the small move!
So now you know, you've got to go to Colonial Suzuki, one block east of the Essen Mall on Colonial.
Colonial!
Brown & Hawk Financial Group is a full-service brokerage and investment advisory firm with a wealth of Wall Street resources. At Brown & Hawk, financial goals are their primary concern. Richard Brown, president of Brown & Hawk Financial Group, is presently offering the free financial physical. The free financial physical will cover the needs, wants, and objectives of your financial future. Mr. Brown will go over your current investments, explaining the ratings of your current stocks and mutual funds, reviewing your annuities and bonds, and making recommendations on your portfolio. For an appointment, call 415-4650. That's 415-4650. And ask for Richard Brown to have your free financial physical. Call 415-4650 today. Don't forget to listen to All About Money and Investing, hosted by Richard Brown, president of Brown & Hawt Financial Group, every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. on 1240 and 1270 Wink WNOG.
This is a wrench. This is a wrench and a can of beans. This is a wrench, some canned goods, a flashlight, gallon of water, batteries, a can opener, first aid kit, radio, supply of medications, and some extra cash. When we bring all these things together, we have a disaster supplies kit. With a list from your local Red Cross, you can assemble all the supplies you need to prepare your home and family for an emergency or disaster. When we come together, we become part of something bigger than us all. To assemble your own kit, visit redcross.org. The American Red Cross. Together, we can save a life.
Have you ever walked by a homeless person and asked yourself, what can one person really do to help? Well, in AmeriCorps, you can do a lot. You can take a year and really give back. More than 50,000 Americans are doing it this year, helping solve tough issues like hunger, illiteracy, or just helping people find a place to live. It's your world. It's your chance to make it better.
Call 800-942-2677 or go to AmeriCorps.org.
Southwest Florida's official news, weather, and traffic station. Wing WNOG.
Ew! It stinks in here.
Passing gas. Is there a right time and a wrong time to do it?
Number one Democratic talk show. And now, you've heard the right. All that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Yes, we're back for the final hour of the show. Final, 55 minutes of the program tonight. We're so glad to have you along with us here, whether you're here locally in Southwest Florida. We cover most of Southwest Florida now. Or if you're with us on the Internet, anywhere in the whole wide world on the Internet, all of our friends from Democratic Underground listening tonight, we want to welcome you. I do want to remind you that if you've missed part of the program, you can go to our good friend Ben Birch's website called WhiteRoseSociety.org. WhiteRoseSociety.org. You can catch the archives of the show on there. Ben does a wonderful job for Radio on the Left. I tell you, he does. And we're so glad to have him along with us. You can call us, you know. It is a talk show. And you've done a lot of talking tonight, and I hope you do a lot more. Of course, I've done my share as well. 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, 7504, 479-5540 here locally, or 263-6570 if you're down in Collier County, Naples, Florida way. You know, I want to... Before I get back to the phone, and I will get back there in just a moment, I want to give everybody what I think is a perfect example of what I'm saying when I contend that the mainstream media is almost completely one-sided with a huge tilt toward the right. A couple of weeks ago, most Democrats were demanding that we follow the rule of law in the Schiavo case, and we were accused of promoting a culture of death. You remember that, how they started passing that one around, a culture of death, the Democrats, you know, a culture of death. You've heard the major media say that over and over and over again. Every right-wing talking head known to man was all over TV and radio telling what a bunch of heartless bastards all the Democrats are. The culture of death, the culture of death, the culture. And that's how they do it. You know, they keep repeating everything on those shows. And then our 51 million folks on the other side, they believe it. And then, you know how that goes. The biggest Republican mouthpiece of them all, the drug fiend Limbaugh, and that utterly despicable little Nazi Hannity and the totally insane Michael Savage and Laura Ingraham, maybe the most detestable woman in America next to Ann Coulter, of course. And then there's the sexual deviant pervert, Bill O'Reilly and Scarborough, Michael Reagan, and a boatload of others. They were all repeating the culture of death line. You know, they got it in their talking points in the morning. And they were saying it as often as possible with the hopes of keeping all the Republican sheep in the pen. That's how they do it. Trouble is, it didn't work. Some of the Republican sheep saw what was going on and they escaped. They got out of the pen. Some of them actually voiced an opinion other than the Republican talking points. I thought I would drop dead when I heard this. And when the polls came out, the extremist Republicans like DeLay and Frist and Santorum and a host of others, they realized their little political game of blaming Democrats wasn't working. So they completely closed down their vicious rhetoric and they switched to the other side of the issue, saying they had to obey the law all of a sudden. Yeah. Now, when they found out the public didn't go along with their position, they just locked themselves in their offices and they stayed away from the media. They then became the big proponents of the rule of law. They're now saying we can't interfere because of the rule of law. Weren't those the ones who wanted to obey the rule of law being, you know, they wanted it condemned as part of being a... They're the same people. What I'm trying to say here, they're the same people who wanted to obey the rule of law, and then the people who did want to obey the rule, and now they're being condemned as part of the culture of death, if you know what I mean. I think I said that backwards. Isn't it odd how the Republicans only want to stick to the rule of law when it's to their benefit? You know, you remember the impeachment of Bill Clinton because he lied under oath. We heard the phrase rule of law over and over again by the Republican leaders who were really hell-bent upon painting the Democrats as some kind of outlaws. And the Republican, sanctimonious Republican Party, they were the tower of virtue back at the time. But when the Schiavo case began to hit the headlines, the rule of law all of a sudden was no longer acceptable to the Republicans. Oh, no. They wanted to overrule any and all the judges and any of the courts involved in the Schiavo case. They painted them as out of control, rogue judges. Judge Greer was a Bible-believing right-wing Republican judge who never had any of his ruling criticized before, but now he was a stupid jerk who didn't know the law and just trying to make his own law. And our hypocritical Republicans even tried to overrule the judges and courts by passing their cute little law in Congress. That was something completely out of order, and to be fair here, I want you to know I don't think very highly of the Democrats who voted with them on that bill either. So they see the polls, and they realize their own party's fractured over this, that even a good percentage of evangelicals didn't share their views on, how about that, about the congressional interference into this private matter, and DeLay and Frist and Hastert and the rest of the gang, even the Bush boys, they all just sort of backed away from the Schiavo and said, see you later, folks, you're on your own. We have to obey the rule of law now. You know, the week before, they most certainly went against the rule of law. But this week, it was sacred again. Go figure that. How was that? The week before, everybody said, go do something. Go march in there with somebody. Get some marshals. And I don't care. Just go in there. To hell with the rule of law. And, of course, they had Mr. Snake in the Grass, Tom DeLay. He was found to have pulled the plug on his own father after only a week or so of having his dad's brain in the same shape as Terry Schiavo. Old Tom was ready to end it all after a week, but then there was no politics involved in that from Tom DeLay. Of course not. But the Schiavo case gave the bug man a chance to make some big points with his Christian right extremist friends, and he went for it, and it backfired in a big way. Of course, anyone who thinks DeLay has any concept of decency and ethical behavior is probably brain dead themselves. And I'm still waiting for you to call and defend Mr. Tom DeLay, the leader of some 235 Republicans in the House of Representatives. He is the leader, you know. He's the leader, L-E-A-D-E-R, Tom DeLay. And, you know, the fish rots from the head on down. So if you wanted bitter, hell yes, I'm bitter that a man like Tom DeLay has got the power he does. Of course. You know, I'm still waiting to hear from one Republican who thinks Tom DeLay is an upright citizen worthy of the job he has right now. Terry Schiavo's father, Mr. Schindler, he was found to have pulled the plug on his mother a while back. And while I'm trying to point out all that hypocrisy here coming from Republican elected officials, their media machine is still in high gear. painting the Democrats as the bad guys here. They're saying that we tried to help, but those nasty Democrats in the courts just wouldn't let us do anything. They were saying that the courts had no authority to decide in this matter. Now they're saying the opposite. If it doesn't point out the almost total lack of morality in the Republican Party leadership, I don't know what would. And if you can look at this whole situation and not see that the Republican leadership and their media pals have tried to use this sad, sorry episode for their own political gain, then you're just not capable of rational thought. These people have chosen to take their followers right into the political gutter, and the sad fact is many of them have chosen to follow them right in there. The Republican Party has always stood for selfishness and greed. But I think their new legacy is just plain old hypocrisy. Those of you who voted for him must be so proud. Aren't you proud of Tom DeLay? I'm waiting for you to call me. I don't care if it's a Texan. Somebody call me and say I'm real proud to have Tom DeLay represent me in the House of Representatives and be my leader. Tom DeLay, whose daughter and wife got $500,000 from DeLay's campaign funds and all to pay them to work in the campaign. You know what part of DeLay's daughter work in the campaign was? I guess she's some kind of an event organizer. They had this big blowout for a bunch of the... all of a sudden, I can't think what they're called. What do I have? The lobbyists. They had a big party for the lobbyists. I don't know. They took them all to Las Vegas, and UPS donated a jet and the whole thing. He takes them out there, and toward the end of the evening, things got a little wild, and they had a hot tub in the room, and DeLay's daughter, she was in the hot tub, and she said, "Oh, they were pouring champagne on me. It was so much fun." This is your dollars at work, folks. This is the man. This is the man who's the leader of the House of Representatives. Do I sound bitter? Oh, yeah. Hey, let's go to Connie in Cape Coral. Hi, Connie.
Hey, how are you guys? I saw that Congressman Waxman, he's looking to seek the cost of the Bush troops because of the people that have been ousted from those Social Security 60 days, 60 cities and 60 days trips that he's been taking.
Oh, yeah.
They're pulling the wool over people's eyes, saying that they're doing this to just inform people about Social Security, when in fact they're just propaganda trips to display pseudo support for President Bush's plan. And they're not allowing anybody that even has a hint of being against or that might cause, a bit of an infraction, any entry. They ousted three people from Denver because they had a bumper sticker on their car that somebody didn't appreciate. And they went around and said that it was a member of the Republican Party and not the Secret Service people, even though this was a Secret Service-like looking person that asked them to leave.
Yeah, went up and kind of, you're very astute on this, Connie. And let me ask you if you've noticed the same thing I've noticed on every one of these news clips that makes it to the news at night when Bush is in one of these cities, St. Louis and Phoenix, and I don't know where all he's been, but they always have a news clip on at night, and of course they got that backdrop there, and they always have a crowd sitting behind him, on the bleachers right behind him, about what, maybe six rows high? You've seen that, right?
Absolutely.
Next time you see Bush standing at the lectern talking, and you see that straight-ahead picture of him, I want everybody here to notice one thing. Or several things, actually. I want you to notice that when they show the close-in shot and show him standing at the lectern, there is always a black person, a Hispanic person, an old person, and an Oriental person all included in the shot. I want you all to notice that.
I did notice the one black person. I thought, I was just wondering about the staging of the...
You talk about stage. Just amazing.
Yeah.
They're good. They're really good.
Oh, well, they're because they're very cohesive. And again, it's top down. It's as solid as a rock. And, they're all on the same playing field with the same coaches. And, I think that's the problem that we lack is, those who could... fund, and get behind our efforts, we don't have the cohesion and the money. We're like, different sailboats out in the harbor, and they're, one flotilla all tied together. So.
Well, you know, someone described a while back, and I might have said it on the air. I'm not sure. When you're talking about the Republican Party, you're talking. I don't know if you've ever been out on the farm, but if you got 500 sheep back at the back of the field and you call them up front, they'll follow single file all the way up to the barn. They won't come. They won't be scattered all out. They'll follow each other one by one to the barn in a nice long orderly line, and no one has to train them to do that. A Democratic Party is like a bunch of ducks. You don't get ducks to follow one. They just whack all over the place, and that's the problem.
Well, I think, you know, part of the interesting thing I'm noticing is that, you know, there's more thoughtful processes, more questioning processes. I mean, if you look at what makes up the fundamental base, you know, you have a whole lot of people who don't question. You got a lot of people who follow. And, you know, you've got that. This seems to be, you know, the mainstream of what they want to attract and have attracted is people who basically, you know, listen and follow. They don't question authority. I mean, you know, it's amazing that they cannot hear beneath the lines and see their own actions and listen to their own parroting. Yet they just, you know, repeat the talking points, you know, Clinton lied. I mean, that's straight out of the, you know, Republican, you know, talking points right there.
Absolutely.
There's no thought behind it. There's no questioning, no searching, no even, like, listening to the format that all these propaganda talk shows take. Do they, you know, as well, they're listening to the onslaught against these horrible liberals. Oh, my goodness. You know, but do they ever think, you know, how come I really never hear a liberal voice, you know, with any respect to give a view? Because you won't find it on there because they can't stand up to it.
Yeah.
You know, all they ever do is rant and rave. You know, everything is evil about anything that's Democratic whatsoever. I mean, goodness knows, they're the liberals, you know.
Oh, yeah. And it's like a gentleman a while ago said, well, you didn't prove that Mr. Martinez is a liar. Okay. I'll tell you what. All my Republican friends listening right now, and I'll do it this week. I'll try. I know what the answer will be. Let's have Mr. Mel Martinez. He is my senator, by the way. Let's have him come on this show and tell us about this memo incident. Let's just have him come right on the show. I'll give him a chance to explain to explain his side of this. I will, and let's just see if he'll do it. I don't think he will.
I don't think he will either. But I've got to tell you that here and there, you are beginning to see Republicans who are questioning their own party because, in fact, they are part of the plan of being ousted if they step out of line. And so, along with Representative Harry Waxman from California, Senator Wayne Allard, a Republican in Colorado, is also not pleased about Bush and the money.
Ron Paul down in Texas.
Over $2 million being spent for an airfare alone for these Social Security trips.
Okay.
I mean, that's not even the half of what it's cost to put that on. And they're saying that, in effect, because it's not being allowed all of the people to attend these things, that it's a political maneuver and it's not something, you know, it's nothing that should be funded by our tax dollars.
Oh, yeah.
He's misappropriating, Bush is misappropriating consciously, as everything is, our tax dollars for his political purposes, and nobody's saying anything. I mean, people say anything, but when is somebody going to react? I mean, I'm just so surprised, but I have to say it. You know, you could impeach Clinton in a heartbeat, but where are the people that are just saying, you know, the emperor has no clothes on? What's happening?
They don't question anything. You're exactly right. Connie, thanks so much for calling. Stay tuned, because we're going to talk to, we're going to have our Republican love on now. Always a popular segment of the program. If Ron got the orchestra, you got him ready out there, Mr. Maestro, Ron. Ah, there they are. You know, we got to teach them a different tune. We'll get our studio assistant in here next week to find a new tune for him to play, but this one will do nicely. These are examples, the cleanest examples. I'm kind of a week behind because we were preempted last week, but these are examples of the letters I got that I've cleaned up, and they're the cleanest of the ones that I could say. I'd have to go bleep, 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 you know, every word on some of them. Dear guy, bleep, 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 bleep. But here we go. Dear F-head liberal moron, No one's called me that for a long time, since I lived like in grade school or something. Anyway, you have proved this week that you liberals, L-I-B-R-U-L-S, are nothing but a bunch of killers. You've killed millions of babies, and now you're starting on the sick and elderly, too. We always knew you were heathen non-believers, but you outdid yourselves this week. You have no respect for life, which is sacred to us. I hope you die a horrible death, slow and painfully. I hope you will be paralyzed and not able to let anyone know you are suffering. Slow and painful is what all of you deserve, and we'll dance on your graves when we're finally rid of you. You know, that brings a tear to my eye. It really does. God, I hope we can carry on. All right, we'll go to the next letter. It's just wonderful when people wish things like that for you. Oh, hand me a hanky, will you? Okay, here we go. Why don't you just be honest and go ahead and say that you're glad Terry Schiavo is dead? Okay, I'm glad. But for different reasons than you think. I'm glad she's finally going to meet her maker rather than lying in bed unaware of anything around her. A fate that no one I have ever known would want. No one. Almost 100% of the medical experts I've heard from and seen on TV have said she had no awareness of life or pain. So I'm very happy for Terry Schiavo right now. I really am. And like I said, if you disagree with that, I still want to hear your comments that I put to you a couple weeks ago. If you know anybody that wants to live that way, let me know. No one has yet. Mr. James, don't you think you've said enough about our president by now? I listen to your show almost every week, and you say terrible things about President Bush. You may disagree with him on a few issues, but like it or not, he is our president for 4 more years. Well, I don't like it at all, and if it were up to me, I'd have him removed from office today. He's the poorest, most dishonest president in our history, and it seems everyone in the world knows it except for the 51 million uninformed Americans. Letter goes on to say he has made tough decisions that would overwhelm most people. Well, I think it's too bad he didn't make a decision to do something about the terrible threatening memo he got back in August of 2001 about Al-Qaeda. This one says, the letter goes on to say, he'll go down in history as the greatest president we've ever had because of his great courage and determination. Well, Al, as you know, I disagree. I think it'll be mentioned in the same vein with Herbert Hoover and Warren Harding. I think that'll be his company in the ratings of president. Next letter. Dear idiot. Hey, that's Mr. Idiot to you, okay? I heard you talking about Tom. Oh, here we go. Maybe this guy. I heard you talking about Tom DeLay last week, and I almost called you. Well, that's the secret right there. Almost. That's the code. Your constant condemnation of Mr. DeLay is unfair and unwarranted. How can you honestly disparage the name of a man who has served so honorably in the U.S. House of Representatives for so long? You just don't like the way he runs things in such an efficient and strong manner. He is a true leader, and most of all, here we go, most of all, he is a good Christian and loves the Lord. You know, Tommy DeLay just shows me every day what a good Christian he is. He really does. You know, as far as for him running things in a strong manner, I think you're right. A strong arm would be more like it. He's had how many ethics violations filed against him now? Do you know, all my Republican friends, I know you don't take the time to dig these things out, and I know that Sean and Rush and those people will never tell you this, but they got the Ethics Committee in the Congress, and there's 5 Democrats and 5 Republicans on it, and there were 2 Republicans on it that actually had a sense of morality. So DeLay, with the power that he has, removed those 2 Republicans and put 2 followers of him on there that he'd helped raise money for, and they owed him. So now we got 5 hardcore Republicans and 5 Democrats. So when it votes to Mr. Lay's brought up on charges again, it'll be a tie vote, 5-5. Guess what? They made one. There used to be a rule that if it was a tie vote, they went ahead and proceeded and cited you with the ethic violation. But Mr. DeLay changed the rule so that now if it's a tie vote, no action is taken. So in other words, if Tom DeLay would stand out in front of the Capitol building and I don't know what, to commit one ethics violation after another, They couldn't do one thing to him. Nothing. Nothing. That's your man. That's the kind of thing he does right there. You know, as for him being a good Christian, I think God will judge that. But looking through my eyes, I don't see much he's done as what others would look upon as Christian. Another letter. You are a fool who doesn't ever tell the truth. Could you tell the truth just once? Lies and more lies is all I ever hear from you. I think that means from you. Okay. You talk about others lying, but you're the biggest liar of them all. You've told so many lies that I can't remember them all. I wish he could have just remembered one and included it. If there were a reward for liars, it would, W-O-D, be sitting in your house right now. Well, thank you, Tony. It's good to hear from you. It really is. Next letter here, I don't know if I got time for a couple. I heard that you're being fired by WNOG. I hope it is true because we need to have you out of there. Anyone who talks the way you do should be sent to Russia or Mongoloid areas. Yeah, and that's actually what it says, to Russia or Mongoloid areas. I hope Wink will get wise, too, and take your sorry ass off the air. It's a good think you have that fence around the station, or things unpleasant and nasty would happen to you. You can bet on that. What do you mean, more unpleasant than your letter? Ooh, I'm very, very scared. And finally, one last one this week from, who is this from? Lily May? We all know that Democrats are nothing but a bunch of spineless weasels that can't vote without changing their minds on the same issue two or three times. The Democrats only want to help keeping drug addicts, A-T-T-I-C-S, child beatings, sluts on welfare, so the state can pay to raise the kids and pay for their addiction. When there should be given a time limit, T-H-E-I-R should be given a time limit, and then held responsible for their actions. This is all information my children need to know so that they can fight to keep America strong against spineless weasels. Man, this woman needs to go back to school. I hope her kids don't have an education like she seems to show right here. Well, that's the end of Republican Love, and I want to thank all of you who submitted those fine letters this week. As always, it's an example of the best and brightest in the Republican Party, and we're always glad to put them on for you. So keep those cards and letters coming, folks. We're always glad. And I do want to, you know, we talked earlier in the show about, we talked about delay and this memo and everything, and about how all these right wingers went off and just blah, 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 about one after another saying it was a forgery and all that. I want to play you now a recording that we made of the apologies and the retractions that all the Republicans made over this. Okay, this is the retractions that they all made. Hey, we'll be back right after these words.
The Guy James Show.
West Florida's official news, weather, and traffic station, Wink WNOG. Limiting carbs may be smart, but cutting whole grains out of the diet is not. Whole grains play an important part in controlling obesity and related illnesses. When a food contains whole grains, digestion and absorption are slowed by the fibrous bran and by the protein and by the fat and the germ. This leads to feeling satisfied longer and delays the return of hunger. Whole grains contain no cholesterol, are low in fat and high in fiber, vitamins, and minerals. Studies have shown that people who eat whole grains live longer, healthier lives. Making breads with whole grains is an excellent way to include them in your diet. Breads can be toasted for breakfast, used for a sandwich at lunch, and will enhance any entree for a main meal. For bread recipes using whole grains, call the toll-free number on packages of Red Star yeast, 800-445-4746. The website, www.redstaryeast.com, also has a variety of whole grain bread recipes.
Cal
Child obesity rates in the U.S. are increasing at an alarming rate, with over 15% of children considered obese, twice the amount as in 1975. Proper diet is essential for weight control, and 5 servings of fruit and vegetables each day can make a positive impact. Fresh peaches, plums, and nectarines, for example, contain vitamins A and C, as well as potassium and fiber. They also contain antioxidants, including beta-carotene, that help maintain eye health. Parents can play a big role in helping children achieve a healthy diet.
I love it when my mom gives me fresh fruit. It's fun to try her smoothies. And I like it when she makes peanut butter sandwiches with peaches, plums, or nectarines instead of jam. Also, my mom knows how to freeze fruit and store it in a plastic bag for treats that are perfect for a hot summer day.
For a free brochure, visit www.eatcaliforniafruit.com.
One voice can get the point across. Two voices are stronger. Now and more, and more, and we are stronger than ever. That's the power of a community coalition. They help community groups fight to keep kids away from drugs. It's easy to get involved. Visit helpyourcommunity.org to find out how your group can help. That's helpyourcommunity.org, because you get more when you get together. Brought to you by the Office of National Drug Control Policy and the Ad Council.
This is Craig T. Nelson. Picture a network of children's hospitals that provides world-class hospital care to children with orthopedic problems and severe burns, totally free of charge. That's a picture of the Shriners Hospitals. The Shriners combine expert medical care with progressive research and innovative teaching programs, and there's a Shriners Hospital helping kids from this area. If you know a child the Shriners might be able to help, call 1-800-237-5055. Shriners, giving help and hope to kids for over 80 years.
Heard the right. Now all that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Well, we're back for the last half hour or 25 minutes of the show, or what, I guess that's close enough. Gosh, where does the time go? We had so much to talk about. Not being here last week, we were preempted by the story about the death of the Pope, and we had so much, we were just bursting at the seams to get in here tonight and tell you about a lot of things. I made some notes about some great stories, miscellaneous things, probably off topic here a little bit, but some things I really wanted to tell you about, and I wonder how many of you heard about these. I know some of you heard about the one I want to speak about right now. Let me preface this story by telling you that 2 or 3 years ago, my good friend Gene, my executive producer, and I were sitting in his office one morning having coffee, and he says, "Look at this." And he's got this fancy letter, like, from the Republican National Committee, and I think Tom DeLay was on it and all this, congratulating him for being appointed Businessman of the Year. And blah, 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 blah. We're going to have this thing in Washington and everything. We hope you can come. And, by the way, it'd be nice if you could donate like $1,200. And so we talked about this and said, I wonder how many suckers there would be to do that. So here on ABC the other day, let me just read it to you. Here's your Republican Party in a nutshell for you right here. If this doesn't personify what they're all about, I don't know what does. I think this is a perfect example of the ethics and morals of the Republican Party. This is from what newspaper is this from? It's out of Jamestown, Tony. Well, anyway, the good news reached the Jamestown, New York office of Dr. Rudolph Mueller in a fax from a congressman in Washington. Dr. Mueller had been named 2004 Physician of the Year. And Dr. Mueller said, my secretary come running in and says, Dr. Rudy, look what you've won. You're Physician of the Year, said Mueller, an internist. And in the fine print, it said, but to receive this award in person at a special two-day workshop in Washington last month, Mueller found out that he would have had to make a $1,250 contribution to the National Republican Congressional Committee. It was a disturbing discovery, he said. So to see what the award process was all about, Mueller sent in his $1,250 contribution, and ABC News paid for his travel to Washington for the scheduled event on March 14th and 15th, which included a tax reform workshop as well as an appearance by who else? House Majority Leader Tom DeLay of Texas and President Bush. Just one problem was, you know, Dr. Mueller probably had visions of getting up on the stage and Tom DeLay and the president say, here's a physician of the year, congratulations, you're a good Republican, we're so proud of you, you've done us so proud. Well, the only problem is there were hundreds and hundreds of physicians of the year who were in line, standing there ready to get their picture taken as physician of the year. Hundreds and hundreds. That, my friends, right there is what the Republican Party right now is all about. Really wouldn't have to say a whole lot more about them. For those of you that said I'm bitter and I'm pleased about this story. I don't sound bitter about that, do I? And moving on to other stories about our liberal media, our so-called liberal media. And by the way, you can give us a call, 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. And for our Republican friends that want to call here locally, and our Democrats too, 479-5540, or in Collier County, 263-6570. You've got a couple lines open. How many of you saw that touching story outside of the hospice that was housing Terri Schiavo, you know, in her last days that last week? And you know, so many people, and I know some Republicans, saw this where the father and his children came up to Pinellas Park, and the father said he was a religious activist and an anti-abortion crusader, and he brought his kids up and told them to go ahead because the kids had told him they wanted to participate, and they arrested them, you know. They told him ahead of time so they could get a photo op out of it, and they arrested the little kids. I don't know, they were 8, 10, or something like that, and arrested his kids, and the guy said, his guy's name was Scott Heldreth. He's a veteran of the Operation Rescue and Operation Save America campaigns against abortion. He said he didn't intend to join this fight until his son asked to be brought to Pinellas Park. I think he's from North Carolina. Yeah, North Carolina. They drove down here. He said, my wife and I, we felt like if God really put it on his heart, we should come down to allow him to live out what God had put on his heart. So by then, when I heard this, you know, the tears were forming in my eyes. I'm thinking, boy, this guy is a great father. You're bringing his kids down here and let them do something they really believe. Just one little itty-bitty problem with this story. It turns out that Mr. Scott Heldreth is a registered sex offender in Florida. Yeah, his hometown newspaper, the Charlotte Observer, felt like they ought to put that part of the story into this, too. He was doing so well. He looked so good there for a little while. And then it came out that he is a registered sex offender in Florida. He was arrested after an incident at Ohio University and charged and convicted of 2 counts of rape and 1 count of kidnapping. And he said he had his religious experience while he was pleaded guilty to sexual battery. He was in jail for parts of 1992 and 1993 and served time on probation. And he said during that time that he had a religious experience. So that's a good Republican thing. He had a religious experience there after that. That is good to know. But I thought those were two very heartwarming stories, really. Really. Very, very Republican stories. By the way, let's go to Bob in Cape Coral. Hi, Bob.
How you doing?
Good.
I don't think I'm a Republican. I'd say I'm a conservative. But I want to talk to you about food stamps.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the type of a conservative that thinks if food stamps are a good idea, let's say they are, that we develop that program and we need no paid lunches for kids. We need none of that. My problem is that we have a program to give food to people that need food. No argument. I don't think people should go without food. But then why do we have free lunch programs? Why can't the mom or dad fix lunch for their kids if we provide them with the food? That's my problem with the liberal slant. If this program doesn't work, let's keep it. Let's make another one. And if that doesn't work, let's have a free after-school dinner program. That's my problem. I'm not a strong Republican. When I hear you, all you talk about is the Republicans. When I hear Rush Limbaugh, all he talks about is a Democrat. I never hear any of you guys talk about what you're for.
Well, I talk about what I'm for all the time.
Well, you talk about Tom DeLay for the last, I don't know how long.
Well, that's big news. That's big news this week, don't you think?
No. No, that's where you're wrong. We have immigrant problems.
Now, wait a minute. We got a guy who is the leader. He's the accepted, elected leader of the Republican Party in the House of Representatives of the United States, who is an absolute snake. And that's not big news?
It's not as big as the war. It's not as big as the immigration problem. It's not as
well,
big
I agree
as
it's not as big as the war.
Well, if you talk about what you've talked about, you've not talked about anything positive. You've not said what the Democrats are for. You're a big Democrat. Okay. One of the reasons they don't win is they don't present what they're for. They're against Bush. They're against the war. They're against whatever.
Did you hear earlier in the program, and I'll give you the same challenge, where I gave a list of Democratic achievements and what we've done, and I invited the guy on the phone to tell me what the Republicans, go ahead and give me the list of things they've achieved.
I want the Republican list to be, and they're not doing a very good job, less government, less of everything. Stop spending my money. We're bitching about Bush spending money flying around. I've not heard a word about Teddy Kennedy and the billions that they've thrown down that snake hole in Boston. And if I bring that up, your next response will be, oh, yeah, well, the Republicans are spending $3 kajillion over in Iraq. You never shoot your own. You never say, you know, that was right. Maybe we shouldn't have.
You know, obviously, you haven't listened to this program very much. We had a savage attack on our own Democratic senator here, Bill Nelson, here not too long ago. I also attacked all the Democrats that went along with Republicans on this Schiavo bill. I don't spare the rod on Democrats when they got it coming.
Well,
not at all.
Do you think that we should have a good food stamp program and get rid of the free lunches?
Do you know what percentage of the budget you're talking about? Do you have any idea what percentage of the budget you're talking about?
Unbelievably small, but you know what it does?
Unbelievably small.
But you know what it does?
You know they spend more in Iraq in one day, probably in a couple of hours, than they do in Iraq?
It's not just the money. It's that the parents then don't have to be parents. They don't have to fix lunch. We say, here's free food. Fix your kid lunch.
And this is your major concern here in the country right now with all that's going on?
Touché, but this is very good.
That's your big issue.
Why do we have free lunches? You tell me if we're giving people food. Tell the parents, your responsibility. You have kids, you fix them lunch. Here's the food. Why do we need a free lunch program if we have a...
I'll tell you why.
Okay.
Because a lot of parents aren't responsible enough to do it. That's why.
Well, how were they responsible?
Are we going to take a stick and go over and whack them and say, be responsible? Those kids can't help it. Those kids need to be fed.
They need to be fed, but they needed to be fed 50 years ago when parents were making lunches. But when you make the kids lunch for them, the parents go, oh, that's one less
thing. You got a kid coming to school hungry, why are you going to blame him for it?
I don't see him. If you have child abuse, you don't blame the kids.
You can go out and do whatever you want to do to try and make these parents live up to the responsibilities they should have. But if they don't, and that kid comes to school and he's hungry, what are you going to do? Sorry, kid. Let your stomach growl. Just make sure it doesn't growl so loud it drowns out the lessons.
So this just happened in the past, you know, when we have these programs. It didn't happen in the 30s, 40s, 50s. Somehow kids didn't die then. Here we are now. And I'm saying give them the food. I'm not against kids or parents having the money or the whatever it wherewithal to feed their kids. But when you take the responsibility away from that parent to putting a bologna sandwich and an apple in a bag like our parents did, you've changed something, and it's more than the dollars that are spent on that program.
So the Democrats did this? They've screwed this up?
The liberals did this.
Did they?
Congress saying, let's fund this. Let's have more money. We need more money to feed kids. Then we need more money for this and this and this. And listen.
And you do know, I'm assuming, I know, but I'm assuming you know the percentage of the budget that you're talking about here.
you miss my point if you think.
No, I don't miss the point.
If parents don't have to be parents anymore.
That's not a political issue, is it? That's a societal issue.
Well, if you go back to 1964 and 5 when we had the Great Society, shouldn't things be better now? If we spend all this money, shouldn't it work better? Shouldn't we have less crime? Shouldn't we have better education? Shouldn't we have more kids, you know, achieving things?
What, have Democrats been in office all that time?
Absolutely not. And I'm not just against the Democrats. If you notice, I've been saying the liberals, and a liberal to me is the guy that thinks that the federal government has an answer for everything. If you ask the average person how, when the Department of Education was started, and did it affect them, people your age and my age, there was no federal Department of Education. And do we have a better education for our kids now because we have a federal Department of Education?
So then you're a libertarian then.
To a point.
You know what libertarians are good for? They're good for standing in the middle and throwing stones at both sides and having no...
Let's give them food. I didn't say cut the food stamps, did I? I said, let's make that work. Don't make another program. But when
I'm asking you, how are you going to educate these parents if they're irresponsible? If you got a drug addict at home for a parent and they've had food stamps and went out and bought their food, how are you going to teach them to be responsible enough to take care of that kid? How are you going to do that?
That's part of the problem is that we've been running down this road for 40 years now. And now you're right. It is a big problem because we've trained them. You don't have to fix your kid's lunch. We'll handle that. You don't have to take them to school. We'll handle that. You don't have to do anything. Just have more. Go be whatever you want. 40 years of this, yeah, we've indoctrinated them. Government will step in. And if we have another problem, we'll have a DARE program then, or we'll have something. And that's the way we solve our problems. And it doesn't get solved. If it was better, I'd say, you're right. I'm wrong. I've screwed up. I've missed it. But it isn't working.
So that's the issue. That's the issue.
Good things at work, yeah.
That's the important issue. Well, thank you for the call. It's good to hear from you. There's the issue. I guess I should do a whole show next week on that. Okay. I really don't know how to respond after that. It's so minuscule, the amount of dollars, and by the way, they got cut again and again and again. The amount of dollars that goes for social program like that is so minuscule, I don't know how it could get any less. I don't know how to go out and tell a parent that they got a pack of bologna sandwich if they don't want to. If they're not a good parent, they're not a good parent. He might be a Republican. He might be a Democrat. He might have gotten food stamps. He might not have. I don't know. We're going to go to Juan up in Fort Myers. Hi, Juan.
Hi. Well, I was going to talk about something else. Maybe I'll mention it. But this man apparently, really does not have anything to defend the Republicans with, and he's got to pick up this minuscule thing. And he doesn't. In my book, he doesn't have a point because he can't compare the 1930s to and 40s to now. The kids died. They died of. Right and left, they did die, and that can be easily checked. But you know, now both
Juan, let me interrupt you.
Sure.
Let me interrupt you because I know you know that kids died in the 30s and 40s and 50s, and I know you know what they died of. Tell us.
Well, mostly lack of access to health care and malnutrition. And I know that right now people have to work two jobs, unlike back in the 40s and 50s, whenever. And both parents have to work, and maybe they don't take care as good as a kid. And why should the kids pay for it? We are all in this country together, and we have the government works for us. And I don't mind helping those that cannot help themselves because, you know, we have not been as successful in getting living wages for people to raise their kids. Most parents have to be gone from the home. Those kids are the future of America, and we are all responsible for them, whether he likes it or not. He wants to call that socialism or irresponsibility. Well, why, you know, you can look at both things. Why are the big corporations buying the government so they can have a special, you know, they're dependent on the government. So, you know, this man doesn't know what he's talking about. He only mentioned a small portion of of a small percentage of the budget. And
corporate welfare is okay, but the welfare to help out those who can't help themselves is not okay.
Right. These people have been brainwashed, you know, since the airways were deregulated under Reagan, and you have the guys like you mentioned, you know, OxyContin head boy from Rio Linda and Slanted Head Hannity, and all those guys get in there, and they start spewing this lies without impunity, and nobody's challenging it. And a lot of Americans think that these people, because they're on TV, they cannot be telling lies, they cannot be misleading you, and the country is suffering as a result, and the people that own this the media, they have a better responsibility to this country if they don't want to see it go downhill. And if they don't care, they better start learning Chinese, because those people are going forward. You know, the Republicans' tactic is to help the corporations only. The jobs are leaving this country, and they tell us, well, we're in a world economy. That's okay. We're in a world economy. And then in all the meantime, you know, they have... no jobs are working, you know, any of the credit cards, you know. Right now, the few jobs that were here, they're being canceled, and I don't want to mention the one credit card, but I'm sure they're all in the same boat. But, you know, when there's no jobs here, when there are some jobs here that cannot go outside, now the president has this any willing employer, so that if you don't want to work for low wages, guess what? They're going to bring people from third world countries to the United States and fill those jobs for you. Who the hell is this government working for? They should be working for us, not for the rest of the world. We elected them. It's our money, and it's our taxes, and they're allowing the corporations to run it as if it was a world economy. We're not. The economy, yes, affects the entire world, but these people are supposed to be working for us.
I couldn't agree more. That's exactly what government is there for, to work for the people.
For all, yes, all the people.
All
and the problems are very complex. You know, this fellow, Jerry Springer, now at 9:40 a.m. During the week, he has a pretty good show. He brings on a lot of good points, and he has a lot, he's very energetic about this subject like you are, you know. But it seems like a lot of these other people that, you know, that speak for the Democrat and are in the Democratic Party, they are just falling asleep, and I let this idiot go to town and tell lies and sell the country down the river. And, you know, I'm an immigrant to this country, and I came here, it looks like I'm going to have to learn another language, or my kids will, because these people are just not handling it properly. The government is just being sold to the highest bidder. You know, the Grand Cayman Island, I went on a cruise. That island's only a mile long, and it has 600 banks. That's so the wealthy corporations can hide their money and don't have to pay their fair share. Why doesn't this man talk about that instead of talking about the food that the poor kids, the future of America, the one that's going to fight the next war when the stupid president like the one we have sends us to a stupid war that we don't have any business sticking our nose in. Those kids are the ones going to be bleeding for us. Why doesn't he look at what the corporations are doing?
No, you're so right. Let's give Enron and let's give General Electric and let's give these companies all the corporate welfare in the world. But the kids, you know, they don't need that food.
You think that depends? Why aren't those corporations, why do you call those corporations dependent? Why aren't they saying anything about how those big corporations are hiding their money? Why aren't they saying anything how the like the fellow you had in here from the... and discussing about why the price of gasoline was going up. They're just not using the refiners. They're shutting them down so they can steal money from us. When is he talking about that? And that created dependence for the wealthy?
Yeah.
They're stealing. Whatever he wants to call it, they're just stealing from the rest of us.
Juan, I know, knowing who you are, and I've met you, and I certainly enjoyed doing so, and knowing your circumstance in life and what you do, is your career and all. I know this is a hot button with you, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is, because you're in a position for it to be a hot button for you, and I think you're a man who knows doggone well what you're talking about when we talk about this issue about the kids and all that, and I can tell you speak with a lot of passion, and I love that. Thanks for calling, Juan.
Thank you, guys.
Good to hear from him.
Thank you.
He's a man that's, I must tell you... I don't know if I should say or not. Perhaps I'll ask him permission someday or not, but you would be interested to know what that man does for a living. is very important. Very, very important. And believe me, he does know. He does know what he's talking about when he talks about kids and not having the proper nutrition and all that. He knows. And you know, when you talk about not wanting to feed the kids, I don't know what to say to that. I don't. I don't have an answer for it. It just makes me angry. It really does. And I try to keep from getting angry on the program, but I do once in a while, and I apologize for that. Well, maybe sometimes I'm not apologetic about it, but it's the kids. It's the kids. And you know where we live here? We've got school problems in Florida. Florida's got one of the worst school systems in the country. You know, one of the richest states with one of the poorest educational systems here in this country. It's terrible. It really is. We rank right down there with Arkansas and South Carolina and Mississippi. Bad. Bad school system. Governor Bush has done nothing about it. They've thrown a few bucks at it or whatever, but nothing has worked that he's tried, and that goes back to administrations before him as well. We got a terrible, terrible school system here. We really do. And so we hear these people who live in rich sections around here saying, I don't want to pay a school tax. I don't have any kids. My grandkids are living up north, and I don't have any grandkids. Why should I pay for this? I shouldn't be hung with this. Well, you're not a real citizen of this country if you have an attitude like that. You're really not. You're not a decent person if you have an attitude like that. You're selfish and you're greedy, and you probably are a member of the Grand Ole Party. Listen, I want to thank you for being along with us tonight. We really appreciate you being here. We talked about our great friend, our good friend Jeff Mattson earlier tonight. We know he's listening in one way or another. And our thoughts and prayers are out to his family. So you've heard from the radical right. All that's left is the truth. Good night, Jeff, and good night, everybody.
James Show is the cooperative effort of a talented and dedicated staff. Executive producer, Gene Charles. Research director, Michael Merrick. Production manager, Frank Princeton. Production assistant, Liz Laura. Marketing director, Marlene Jones. Program coordinator, Martha Simon. We thank the staff for their continued dedication. And we thank you, the listeners, for your interest in our show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. This has been The Guy James Show.